about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We'll take you where you need to go. Climb aboard the party bus and join the party.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And that's Troy Donahue doing Live Young from the movie Palm Springs Weekend. And that's where I had my first teenage crush, was on Connie Stevens. It was Connie Stevens, Troy Donahue in that movie, Bob Conrad, all kinds of great people, Jerry Van Dyke, Try Harden. And even MFQ were in it. Palm Springs Weekend. Everybody used to go to Palm Springs.
Details of your idea are without interest. You may dispense with the explanation.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
Are you sexually attracted to boys, underage boys?
Roll another one.
Hey, stop fooling her.
Just like the other one.
You get what's on your mind,
this
monkey.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Mitt Romney says
and
no.
Another again.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Choke on your lies.
Roll another one.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Just like the other one.
Who knew that we already outdo
this
that?
This one seems to be about to end.
Your ineptitude is staggering.
I don't have another cent.
Over the sound of my giant throbbing erection.
And it's time for your daily dose of cool.
Just pass it around.
Do you have any meat? I've been dreaming about it.
Jesus, who are you guys?
Your worst nightmare.
Our feature presentation.
Indeed. Sorry to say that's probably true, but welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday, the 3rd of April. What's going on, girls?
It's a chick show today.
You know, partying.
Yeah.
Talk about my worst nightmare. Jesus.
You
me in a room
it.
With two girls.
You love it.
And
it's
not
a nightmare for us
girls
more,
either,
I
get
think.
My meaning. I hear you. So, Kings are hanging on.
Kings did very well last night. Yeah. Very well.
So they're in the playoffs if the season ends today, right?
Yeah.
But
it
the season doesn't end today.
No,
so
we've
got five more games to blow it.
How dare you.
Or continue to win.
Listen, we try and make the end as exciting as possible. And then what the Kings like to do, which I appreciate, they give you so much bang for your buck during the next rounds of playoffs. They'll go the whole way. They'll go to seven. Just to give you more hockey,
yeah,
which I think is lovely.
What was the deal last night with Edmonton having a rookie goalie in the third period? What was that deal? Is it just that the game was so far out of hand? Why not just give the new guy some ice?
Yeah, they kept replacing guys. And I felt real bad because the initial guy, Ben Scrivens, was on the Kings. And he was such a genuinely kind, lovely person, and him and his wife do so much charity work, and they're wonderful people. And I was sad that goals were going past him. I need to be a better sports fan.
It's okay you can't root against your team, but
no.
It's okay to wish for somebody on the other team to do well.
That's what I was doing.
As long as you win the game.
Absolutely.
I want to win, but I want him to be okay.
Yes.
I get that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a tough debut though, that poor goalie in the third.
Yeah. Just rough.
Watching them whiz on by. So, all right. And we'll talk some baseball later on today, but the Freeway Series started last night, too. So we had Angels and Dodgers. We actually got to see people like Yasiel Puig and Mike Trout playing ball again. So it's a wonderful time of year. Before we get started with today's show, let me tell you about the story. We go to Racine, Wisconsin. Here is a woman. She is a delightful, beautiful young flower. 49 years old. Melissa Jacobson is her name. She showed up at the Kmart in Racine to make a return. So she goes into the store, and this is all on video, by the way. And before she returns her items, she goes behind the store cash register and poops into a box of security tags.
Wasn't expecting that part. Wow.
Security footage showed the woman, who authorities later identified as Ms. Jacobson, answering nature's call, it says, at around 10:20 a.m. The footage shows her reaching for paper towels beneath the counter when she was done. Then she went to the customer service desk and returned her items. By the way, giving her name and address and filling out all the paperwork with whatever she was returning. According to the footage, the woman showed up at the Kmart wearing a shirt with a dump trunk truck on it and the phrase, dropping a load.
No. Nope.
So she planned this. That's no coincidence that that's what she was wearing the day she decided to take a public poop, right? So that was at 10:20. At around 12:50, employees started to notice a strange odor around the register and then discovered what is described in the article as a poo light special in the box.
No.
Which was also soaked with urine. At that point, the police were called. Officers responded. One worker told investigators that Melissa Jacobson was a regular customer who certainly should know where the public restrooms are located. Another employee said the suspect did not appear to be under the influence of drugs or alcohol, which, by the way, how much of a surprise is that to all of us?
Yeah.
Or in any special need to go to the bathroom, according to the police complaint. So it's not like it just hit her and, oh, my God, I have to go this second.
Yeah.
It was the plan. She showed up in the taking a dump shirt. Or dropping a load, or whatever the shirt said, and planned on pooping in the store.
I think we need to track down this woman for Omar.
Oh,
does sound like so a love much. Connection exactly. So police go to her house, which of course, remember, her address was on the forums that she used when she returned the merchandise. The Melissa answers the door. She's wearing the same outfit, same pants, same tennis shoes, same dropping a load T-shirt that was seen on the surveillance footage. She denied pooping at the Kmart, even after she was told about the footage. She resisted attempts to be taken into custody, has now been arrested and charged with three misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct, resisting an officer, and obstructing an officer. She's out on bond right now, has an April 30th pretrial conference, but part of her bond condition requires she has no further contact with Kmart.
Any Kmart.
Yes. So she is going to have to, I guess, just poop at home for this month.
Here's my question. Maybe it's just me, but when I need to go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom. I don't think I could hold it for a car ride, however far Kmart is from her house, that type of thing. You think she planned it and said, all right, it's happening, get in the car, go.
I do. I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, it's too much of a coincidence that she's wearing the dump truck shirt. It really is. I think it was on purpose. So she's a delight. She'll leave this story off of her Tinder profile, right? This is not.
You would think.
This isn't winning anybody over in Wisconsin. So.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, good times. And I know there's a lot of downside to working in retail. But if that's your job today, at least you're not cleaning up at the Racine, Wisconsin Kmart. So it could be a lot worse. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show now.
Your activities are offensive to my every waking moment.
How dare you? Got a Kevin Bean listener that we're going to talk to in less than an hour from right now named Sean. I won't reveal it here, but he's come up with a genius idea that I believe we are going to get behind, and I believe it is something that needs to happen. Very excited about this. We'll talk to him. Also, we got another edition of Lightning Strikes on the program today. He's our former producer, Allie Lightning. Mm-hmm. You know him.
Sure.
He goes out with the K-Rock microphones and attacks a serious subject. Today, I think he's going to help us solve the drought. I think our listeners have some pretty good ideas.
Excellent.
So we'll hear that later on today. Fluffy's going to be here today, the great Gabriel Iglesias. Of course, he's with us at April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Shrine, but he is stopping by today for two special reasons. One is we are going to call and wake up the person who will be our opening act for April Foolishness tomorrow. That's our piece of business. And he's also coming in with something he wants to do, and that's give away a trip to New York City to see him do comedy at Madison Square Garden.
He's a giver.
He is a giver. How do we get so lucky that he's just going to come in and just give that away to a listener, a free trip to New York? I love it.
Awesome.
Beer Mug told us last week that he is thinking about taking on a part-time job being an Uber driver. Today's the day we've got some time to find out if that's a good idea or not. We're going to be listening to calls from Uber drivers to find out what that job is like. I mean, it looks like on the surface, hey, you work when you want, you make tons of money. What's the downside? I suspect, like any job, there's probably some downsides.
Yeah, and Beer Mug has a whole new level of downsides.
And our friend RJ Bell back on the program today from pregame.com. There must be a way to make some money on the NCAA basketball tournament this weekend. We'll find out who he thinks will be in the finals on Monday night and how we should be throwing our money around this weekend in Las Vegas. And apparently there's a Kevin and Bean resolution that's going to be announced today. An actual California assemblyman is coming in on the show. Now, I don't know if this is a key to the city deal, or this is a Kevin and Bean day.
A real assemblyman.
Yeah.
A real resolution.
Yes, that's apparently so, yes. Huh. Or it's all just a prank and he's just coming in to poop in the conference room. I'm not sure exactly what's happened. But all of that and your final tickets for the Party Bus section of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We got that for you today. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock.
Deny my dear.
Get those banjos out of here. Bad banjos. Said Mumford & Son when they came in on our show earlier this week on the Kevin & Bean Show. Hey, it's Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new Kevin & Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Not much. What's wrong with you?
Oh, there you are. Hey.
Here I am. Now I'm done. Happy Good Friday, everybody.
That's right. It is Good Friday.
Good for everybody but Jesus, in my opinion.
Yeah, bad day for him.
Bad day for him. Freaking Christians. Typical Christians. Taking pleasure in somebody else's suffering, man.
Right.
Come on. Help
it
a brother
gets
out.
Better. It gets better, Jesus.
And it should be great Sunday. It should be Good Friday, but great Sunday. But they don't call
what
it that.
What do they call this week? I know this is the Holy Week. Yesterday mm-hmm. was what? Yesterday has a name, too. Is it Holy Thursday? Or does it have some other name?
Holy Thursday.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Passover.
And what's tomorrow?
I've been out of the church for a long time.
Is there a Saturday thing, too?
Yeah, it's called...
Get ready for Easter.
It's called Spectacular Saturday.
Okay, I like it.
Stock them deep, sell them cheap Saturday.
These may not be the official names according to Catholic Church, but okay.
Do you know Easter, by the way, is the name of a Teutonic goddess? Has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever.
You mean the word Easter? Is that what you
mean? The holiday Easter.
Oh, no, I'm very confused by what you're saying to me right now.
Oh.
Huh.
But I thought Easter was exactly the celebration of Christ's return.
Unrelated. Completely unrelated. It used to happen at the same time, though. The Teutonic, I guess they would be, not druids, but, oh, damn it.
Russ seems sketchy on this information.
Yeah,
trust me on this. There's a Teutonic goddess named Easter. That was her name. She was the goddess of rising light and spring. And they had a festival in her honor to celebrate fertility and life and abundance and the coming of spring. And she had a pet bird that would lay eggs and hide them for fun. And she, using her magical powers, turned the bird into a rabbit.
Come on.
This is all true. I learned this many years ago, that Easter and this festival used to happen amongst the Teutons. Years before Christ was celebrated by the heathens, and because of this festival and the story of Christ's resurrection happened simultaneously, the two became blended over the years, and now we celebrate them as one and the same.
That's bullshit.
Agree, kid.
Anyone buying this?
Would you like to lay down a little cash? Oh, would you like to make it interesting?
That's when it gets serious.
Would you like to make it interesting?
I know less about this than you do.
But would you like to make it interesting is what I'm asking you.
No.
I'm
not going to bet
so.
On this.
I didn't think
sounds,
so.
It sounds sketchy as hell.
I didn't think so. Oh, where's Coward's Corner? Oh, there it is over there. That's where Bean is standing. Over there in Coward's Corner.
What? Because
well,
I
then you know what?
Pipe
down. Don't. No. You don't get to come at me. You come correct or you don't come at all.
Wow.
And so, I hope Easter's bird rabbit lays eggs on your head.
So Jesus owned a rabbit. Hold on. I'm trying to
You're
get this
missing
right. So
Jesus
owned a rabbit, and then the rabbit was buried, but then wasn't quite dead, came back to life?
All right. Let's talk the biz of show, shall we?
All right.
Congratulations to Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright. Netflix has renewed House of Cards for a fourth season.
I'm the only one on the show watching House of Cards, correct?
I saw the first season.
Okay. It's great.
I know.
And season three
I didn't
ended
say
on,
it wasn't.
Season three ended on an incredible cliffhanger.
Oh.
I'm so relieved to hear that it is coming back for more, because that would have been a terrible way to end the series.
Yeah.
It's great news.
It is great news.
And Robin Wright.
Right?
She's always been a great actress.
Robin?
This is the role of her lifetime, though.
You know what else is good news? Full House might be coming back.
Yeah, what's that about?
Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Netflix is in talks to pick up a new season of Full House, which ran from 1987 to 1995. First Coach, now Full House. We live in a golden era. This show would be called Fuller House. I'm not kidding. That's the working title. It would focus on Candace Cameron Bure's character.
DJ Tanner.
DJ. And her best friend, Kimmy Gibbler. And how they're getting along now that they are all grown up in the world. Fuller House. Coming soon. Love it.
Let's call our good friend Bob Saget.
Let's call the Sags.
What's up?
Let's see what's up with Sags.
Because he would be involved, right? It's original cast coming back?
Yeah, everybody's coming back. That's what I understand.
Hmm.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. You would be surprised at the ton of people born today. Let's take a look. Andy Dorfman. She was the Bachelorette. Hated her with her scowling face. She always had that face on. Hated her. Amanda Bynes is 29. What's up with Amanda Bynes?
Wow, she's been quiet lately.
Yeah,
which scares me.
It means she's building pipe bombs someplace. Right? Is that what it means?
I don't hear from her? It means she's healthy and doing great and doesn't want to get on social media.
Or building pipe bombs.
When she stays off social media is when she's at her best.
Did you know Amanda Bynes used to be a Teutonic goddess?
I don't think that's true either.
Laying eggs for fun.
Kobe Smulders. How much do we love Kobe Smulders?
She's the best.
She's the best. With a name like Kobe Smulders, though, you don't expect her to look as hot as she does.
Agree.
Matthew Good from The Good Wife. He is 37 years old. Comedian Ari Spears is 40. Adam Scott, one of my favorite funny actors, 42 years old today. Mike Ness from Social D. He's 53. Eddie Murphy's 54. David Hyde Pierce, probably still best known as Niles on Frasier. He is 56 years old. Alec Baldwin turns 57. And singer Tony Orlando is 71 years old today.
Nope.
And we don't have time for it right now, but in the next show, Biz B, we are going to celebrate Schmeckfest with the great Tony Orlando. And you will get to hear the kind of work that propelled Kevin and Bean into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. We will talk about the wonder that was Schmeckfest.
Please don't.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening. You don't get to run away from your crimes, Bean. Say, oh, forget that guy I murdered. No, we're going back. And we're going to look at the evidence, and then we'll let the jury decide.
But isn't there a statute of limitations on a crime such as Schmeckfest?
Not on a capital offense like Schmeckfest. No,
sir. We haven't redeemed ourselves in the years since.
Nope. Coming up next hour, Schmeckfest. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Hey!
Hey, indeed. Gabriel Iglesias, the fluffy guy himself, will be joining us just after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got to be one of the most popular touring comedians in the country, doesn't he, Ralph?
Absolutely. He packs massive halls, giant arenas.
Yeah. He did two nights in December back at the Honda Center, if you recall.
Crazy.
We had him in then. And he's given away a trip to see him at Madison Square Garden when he stops by later on today. And, of course, he'll be on the bill for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Shrine as well. So very excited about Fluffy's return. It is Friday morning, and that means Ralph is here, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of films this weekend. And I use interesting in the most condescending way I can. I mean, outside of Furious 7, the Fast and Furious film, the other ones look moderately interesting.
Well, a lot of times movies will try to stay away from something that is a blockbuster. They just don't even want to go up against it, right?
They are predicting.
So maybe they just cleared a path here.
They are predicting over $100 million easily this weekend for Furious 7. So we'll wait and see whether those predictions come true or not. But some of the other movies in Cineplexes this weekend, most of them in limited release, like Effie Gray. Effie Gray is the story of famous Victorian art critic John Ruskin. You remember John Ruskin, the art critic from the Victorian era?
No.
Oh.
No.
Come on.
Not ringing a bell.
He's everybody's favorite Victorian era art critic. He had a teenage bride named Effie Gray. But he also had a secret lover, the pre-Raphaelite painter John Everett Milius.
Whoa.
And of all the pre-Raphaelite painters, John Everett Milius did some of the best work.
Now,
this is scandalous.
Are Vin Diesel and The Rock in this one as well?
No, this is Dakota Fanning and Tom Sturridge and Emma Thompson.
Oh.
This is a Victorian parlor drama of a love triangle between two men and a woman. And it's Effie Gray. That's the name of it. And here are some clips from the trailer. Try to stay awake.
That poor child, she's not happy.
Your wife is unwilling to make it a success.
She has to get away from their clutches.
In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with your wife. The simple love and attention will not cure.
I do not want to kill her.
She means to poison me.
You belong in the asylum. Stop.
I cannot go back. The pains of eternal torment would be no worse than returning with you.
That's why Kevin's not here today, is he didn't want to have to hear that clip.
I'm not here because I'm already in line for Effie Gray. Also opening up this weekend, 5 to 7. This is a movie about an aspiring novelist who enters into a relationship with a woman who's married, and so they can only meet between the hours of 5 and 7 each evening. Aha! Another love triangle, I say unto thee. Anton Yelchin stars in this, along with Berenice Marlowe, who's now a Bond girl, and Olivia Thirlby. A lot of hotties in this movie. Here's some scenes from the trailer of 5 to 7.
So, Ariel, tell us about yourself.
I am married and the mother of two.
Waiter.
5 to 7 relationship is a relationship outside of marriage.
Hello, I'm Ariel's husband.
Please forgive any hot dog-related moisture.
What?
How did he find out?
I told him.
You just volunteered it?
With great joy.
We are very, very happy to have you in the family.
Thank you.
Good Lord.
Hot dog-related moisture.
And that one is a double feature with Fast and Furious 7?
Nope. Woman in Gold opens up this weekend. This is Helen Mirren, Ryan Reynolds, Katie Holmes, and Daniel Brühl. She, Helen Mirren plays an octogenarian Jewish refugee who takes on the government to try to recover artwork that she rightfully belongs to her family, even though it was stolen by the Nazis decades ago.
Right, this is like a true life story. I mean, there are a lot of those in the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of Nazi art theft from Jewish families throughout Europe, pre and during World War II, and a lot of the families are trying to get these artworks back. And this is one of those stories. Here's Helen Mirren telling Ryan Reynolds about the painting in her family.
My aunt, Adele. My uncle commissioned Gustav Klimt to paint her.
That's quite a painting.
It's magnificent. She was taken off the walls of our home by the Nazis. And since then, she's been hanging in the Belvedere Gallery in Vienna.
And now you'd like to be reunited.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Wouldn't it? And so they break into the museum, and they just come down from the skylight on, like, Mission Impossible style. And then Helen Mirren does some flips through some laser grids that the alarms are on. And then they steal
happens.
The painting. And then
the
cop goes,
I don't think so.
There's an armored car chase. And then,
I don't think any of that happens.
I think they go to court. I think that's what happens in this film.
This weekend,
boy,
Ralph, you're killing us,
boy, right?
Seriously,
right? Well, let me help you out a little bit. Let me save you. Let me save your weekend with a little something called Furious 7.
Yay!
The Rock, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Jason Statham. Come on, Dominic Toretto is back, and this time he's avenging the death of his brother. It's not just about being fast anymore. It's about being furious, too.
Yeah, he's turning up the furious this time.
He's turning up the furious. Here's The Rock and Vin Diesel, where The Rock is giving Vin some intel on Deckard Shaw.
British Special Forces assassin. The kind of unique asset that no government would ever admit to employing.
How do I find him?
The official answer is, you don't.
Yeah.
You killed Han.
Yeah.
Almost killed my family.
He also tried to put me in a body bag, too.
Yeah.
Which is why when I get out, I'm going to put a hurt on him so bad he's going to wish his mama had kept her legs closed. But until then, my official answer to you is stand down.
Now you know I can't do that.
What? What'd you say?
No, I can't do that.
Boy,
I
the can... Rock goes up against Helen Mirren with that machine gun. That's going to be a
the
battle.
Best. Helen Mirren's going to wish she kept her legs closed.
That's right, man.
Furious. Remember when the Furious, Fast Furious movie was about people who stole cars?
Yeah.
Remember when that franchise was about people who just stole cars?
Yeah.
Now they're secret agents and they're fighting things and they're jumping out of planes and flying cars through buildings. We live in a golden age.
They do. I mean, honestly, I know it used to be fashionable to mock this franchise, but they rival the James Bond movies for the things that they do for stunts and,
yes,
and whatnot, don't they?
Absolutely.
Kind of crazy.
Furious 7, that's your choice, obviously, this weekend. Unless you want to sit in a courtroom with an elderly Jewish lady and see her fight for her painting. There's that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for listening to the world famous K-Rock. We are fast approaching the weekends of Coachella for 2015. And don't forget this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Once again, we'll hook you up with a pair of 3-day passes plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house. And you're qualified to win a new car. It's a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. Abarth, right, Allie?
Yep. Abarth? I think the fourth time. Abarth.
Grand prize winner will be joined at the K-Rock Coachella house on Friday, April the 10th. It's a pretty sweet deal. Those things, obviously, the Coachella sells out so fast. Some people can't get tickets, so why not win them for free for K-Rock? Get your details at K-Rock.com. All right, we've been doing this show for a long time, and I cannot tell you how often somebody contacts us via the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or on the Twitter or via email or good old-fashioned giving us a phone call and says, hey, I got a petition up online. Will you sign my petition? Will you publicize my petition? What's your take on the online petitions, Allie?
There's a lot of them, and unless it's something I feel really strongly about, I probably am not even going to give it a second look. Because everyone is so either offended by something or needs something to be done. Mm-hmm. It becomes overwhelming.
I'm going to say I go a step further than that. Even if it's something I strongly believe in, I mm-hmm. generally won't sign it. Because online petitions are BS.
Okay.
That's why. Because they... It's like passing a resolution when you're not in law, when you're not, in the assembly or in the Congress. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any impact whatsoever. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever on getting the thing done that you're trying to get done. You got a petition to get your TV show to come back. It's not gonna make it a difference. You know, it's just people. I guess it's people who feel like they're doing something, even though they're not.
Like a couch activist.
Yeah, couch actors. Exactly. Right. Having said that, we got this email from Kevin and Bean listener Sean, who writes in and says, I've been listening to you guys for 12 years now. I listen to the podcast religiously. I never miss an episode, and I've been a fan for a very long time. So I legitimately want to thank you for all the laughs and for making my morning suck less. Is there any way I can ask for a huge favor? I have started a petition on a change.org, a website I only know about thanks to your show, and I have something I want you to help me do. His idea is so great that it just blows away all of my preconceived notions about what a waste of time petitions are, because we need to figure out a way to help Sean make his dream come true. Hey, Sean, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for contacting us, and thanks for listening over 12 years, man. That's a lot of bad radio you had to sit through.
Well, like I said, I listen to podcasts mostly, so I can always fast forward.
Yeah, that's the best way. You know, you can get through our podcast and just listen to the good stuff in about 15 minutes most days. All right.
Yeah,
what's your great idea? I have not revealed it yet. What did you write to us about, John?
I wrote to you guys because I have started a petition to get the Los Angeles Dodgers to build a statue in honor of the great Vin Scully.
A statue of Vin Scully at Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
How shocking is it that he doesn't have one yet?
That was my thought.
That's crazy.
Even one of my friends that signed it, he said, I'm surprised this hasn't been done yet. And I'm like, well, let's get it done.
I mean, you've been a Dodger fan for a while, and you were actually at Vin Scully Appreciation Night a few years ago?
Yeah, I was. That's kind of what started this whole thing a while back. It's what put the thought in my head. It's just seeing... Mm-hmm. Everyone in Dodger Stadium stand at their feet and give the man a standing ovation. It was very inspiring.
For people who aren't baseball fans, Vin Scully has been with the Dodgers organization since 1950. Okay?
Yeah.
66 years he's been calling Dodgers baseball games since before they even moved to California. By the way, the most astonishing statistic in the world to me is that Tommy Lasorda has been there longer.
Wow.
I mean, Vin Scully has been there since 1950. Tommy Lasorda has been there since 1949 or something like that. It's just, it's crazy to me. So, twice your lifetime. He's a living legend. I don't know anybody who doesn't love listening to Vin, even if you're not a baseball fan, because he's so masterful with the language. He's gotten every honor that you can imagine, including the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He's been voted the best sportscaster of all time. He's got the star of the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I mean, there's no question. You're absolutely right, Sean. He is beloved. But why not something permanent at Dodger Stadium beyond the press box being named after him, which is an honor he's already received? Why not something that the fans can see and touch and get their picture taken with and access? Why not seeing Vin Scully for the rest of time out in front of Dodger Stadium or somewhere within the park when you show up to see a Dodger game? That's a brilliant idea.
And I think most importantly, why is it not being done right now while he's alive so he can take part in it and yes. actually see everything that he's done come kind of to fruition, see people's pictures posted, all of that? It would add this whole new dimension to the fan experience as well.
What's your reaction been like so far, Sean, and how have you been getting the word out up till this point?
To be honest, surprisingly, it's been kind of slow moving up until today. I've got about 33 signatures.
That's a start.
I've been emailing friends and family and just posting it all over Facebook, and I kind of took a shot and emailed you guys a few days ago, and I so stoked and surprised I got an email back. So, and I've heard over the years just the overwhelming response that your listeners have. So I'm hoping this will make a huge impact.
I hope so, too. And I hope that we get the ball rolling on this, what really is a great idea. And the reason you heard back from us is because, like Ali said, we looked at your email and thought, how is this not already a thing? It feels like we're righting a great wrong here if we can help get this done.
He's so beloved by everyone, not just Dodger fans, obviously, that have loved him most of our lives. We can't even imagine not hearing his voice, but people that come from out of town tune in just to listen to him because of his stories, because he makes everything so heartfelt. Even Angels fans. I don't know an Angels fan that doesn't love Vin Scully. And if there is one, I don't want to hear from you because you're wrong.
Well, you're absolutely right. As you said in your email, he is a living legend. And we've got a lot of questions about this. And I guess the first one would be, and we can maybe get into this next week and try to pick up the ball and run with it for you, Sean, is there some reason maybe that they just don't do statues at Dodger Stadium? Maybe it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. Maybe that's just not something they do at Dodger Stadium. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, down in front of Staples Center, you'll go down there and you see like the Luke Robitaille statue that was just unveiled. I mean, that's how they honor some of the great Los Angeles athletes down there. But maybe they don't do it at Dodger Stadium. I don't know. That's going to be our next call early next week, is to try to get somebody on the line from there and find out if this is something that we can move forward on.
Well, if they don't do it at Dodger Stadium, they can come down and build it in my front yard. I'd be fine with it.
All right. We are going to tweet out at the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, a link to your change.org petition. We are also going to put it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and we'll continue to spread the word and try to get some signatures on there. It can't hurt. As much as I say it doesn't make a difference, it certainly can't hurt, and at least maybe your petition will catch the eye of somebody who can actually do something to make this thing come true. I think it's a great idea, and like Ali said, I think it's something that needs to be done while Vin Scully is still alive and healthy enough to enjoy it and appreciate it and see it with his own eyes.
That's my thoughts exactly. I hope something happens.
You're a good man, Sean. Thanks so much for contacting us. Have a great weekend, dude.
Hey, thank you guys. You too.
Dear Kevin and Bean, James writes in, Vin Scully is such a professional that he fought the Dodgers for a long time on naming the press box after him. He stated that as a broadcaster and reporter, he has a duty to be unbiased and didn't want people to think he was a Dodger fan and therefore biased.
Right. You don't want to think
although
he's a homer.
Everyone already knows he's a Dodger fan,
but that's right.
How professional he is. I would suspect that he would fight the Dodgers on the statues for the same reason if he hasn't already. Look, that's a very real possibility that maybe this is something that's been floated 800 times in the past, and Vin just won't have any part of it, and out of deference to his wishes, that they're not doing it. That could be the answer that we'll end up getting.
look.
But I think it's worth looking into, don't you, Ralph?
In 8 minutes, we can just have Vin stuffed and put him out there, right? I mean, come on.
Come on.
How much longer? How much
That's
longer?
Not the, no.
I'm saying how much longer will we have to wait, really?
We don't ever
You're running through
imagine.
Those car washes, give him a nice coat of Carnauba wax.
No.
Keep them nice and sealed. Boom. Right there. Hanging out. Always greeting the fans. How happy would everybody see you have Vin greet him as they come to
the
park?
In other words, it'd be the real Vin.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't ever want to imagine a world where Vin is not calling the games and alive and healthy and well, Ralph. Come on.
Well.
Hey, a new round of lightning strikes coming up right after the top of the hour. And then our friend Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias, is here. We'll talk to him as well and give away a trip to see the man at Madison Square Garden in New York City. It's all coming up on K-Rock First. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
You do a little sausage joke there?
Yeah, I got it.
Hello? Is this thing on?
It is.
I'm just checking to see if that was a Pace Picante reference or not.
It depends on how well I did. Depends on how well it went over.
Wow. Wow. WonderCon!
Is a thing.
It sure is, and it's happening this weekend. Oh! Oh, WonderCon. How I love you. It's happening at the Anaheim Convention Center today through Sunday. It is all things geek in one wonderful location. You got your cosplayers, you've got your comic books and sci-fi and fantasy and pop culture, movies, television. Oh. It's like the comic book convention down in San Diego, only you don't have to be in San Diego. You're being Anaheim. You can go to comic-con.org for more information about WonderCon, or you can call me and win a pair of single-day passes to WonderCon.
We have a winner,
we
believe it or not.
We don't even have a winner, because I haven't given you the trivia question yet. You know, it's going to be star-studded down there at WonderCon. It always is, and you can get autographs from all your favorites. But especially exciting this weekend is the legendary Lou Ferrigno is going to be on hand.
Ah. We love Lou.
The Incredible Hulk himself.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be down
Remember
there signing autographs.
Remember how much we enjoyed last time he came in, Ralph?
He was terrific. He's Super got this fitness and health app that he put together with his daughter. And the guy, I don't know, he's in his 60s, but he looks like he's about 40. And he's just in amazing shape, as you can imagine. But he'll be down there signing autographs. And we thought it would be fun to ask, as a trivia question, name all the other actors who have played the Incredible Hulk, a.k.a. David slash Bruce Banner, in live action. Live action Incredible Hulk movies. Give me all the actors besides Lou Ferrigno who have played the Incredible Hulk or his counterpart, Dr. Bruce Banner. Do that now. 1-800-520-1067. First person through with, first four people actually who are through with the correct answer will get a pair of one-day passes for WonderCon.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno,
hey!
The Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
Yeah. How has life been for you up till today? Can you just catch us up on the past 64 years or so?
That has to go in the Beer Bug Hall of Fame for questions, right?
Yeah. And Lou said, "I don't think I heard you." Bob Odenkirk and Dave Cross are working together again.
Woohoo!
They're getting a new Netflix sketch show. These are the boys, of course, who brought us Mr. Show some 20 years ago. I can't believe it's 20 years since Mr. Show premiered on television. But they are working together to produce 4.5 hours of brand new sketch comedy. And in their words, featuring all new characters, all new scenes, and most importantly, all new wigs. So they got that going for them. Cannot wait to see what these guys come up with. Such
Ralph,
talented,
I,
funny men.
I can't keep up with how many shows Netflix is making right now. I mean, it's incredible.
They are full-blown network.
I do feel like every week there's something else announced that's coming onto Netflix.
I hear you, brother. We already talked about the fact House of Cards is coming back. Mm-hmm. And that Fuller House may be joining Netflix.
And then the Pee-wee movie?
That's right. Pee-wee's
Got
Big
that
Holiday.
One, yeah.
Vanilla Ice accepted a plea deal in Florida this week in the home burglary case against him. Miami Herald reports that he will have to do 100 hours of community service. That will have the case dismissed once that is completed. So no answers. I don't understand what was going on, why he was pulling stuff out of that house. He says it was just a misunderstanding. The police say that he returned all of the items. That's what he's sort of getting off easy. But he was accused of stealing items out of a foreclosed house next to the one he was renovating for his DIY network series, The Vanilla Ice Crew. So we may never know what was really behind it, but it looks like he's getting off pretty easily.
Nothing on the stand.
Get out of here.
Word to your mother.
Right. Word to your mother. And he stabbed some guy, right?
I heard, yeah,
I heard he stabbed a man. That's true. That was Kevin told us that.
Oh, yeah. That's so crazy. Hey, today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Bynes is 29. Kobe Smulders is 33. Matthew Good from The Good Wife is 37 years old. Ari Spears is 40. Adam Scott, 42. Mike Ness of Social D is 53. Eddie Murphy is 54. David Hyde Pierce of Frasier fame is 56. Alec Baldwin turns 57. And singer, songwriter, legend Tony Orlando, formerly of Tony Orlando and Dawn, is 71 years old today. You may not remember Tony Orlando or the magic that he brought to the musical business back in the day. But Kevin and Bean were close, close friends to Tony Orlando, so much so that while they were celebrating Schmeckfest, which is a thing apparently in North and or South Dakota,
I think it's like a German beer festival. I think if I recall correctly, it was in Freeman, South Dakota. Mr. Orlando was a guest on the show about the time we were getting ready to go and broadcast live from there.
Right. So you're going to broadcast live from this beer garden. You enlisted the help of Tony Orlando to sing a theme song based on you going to do a broadcast from a beer party in South Dakota.
That's what we did.
This happened.
On the air.
Okay. Gather round, boys and girls, and listen.
You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and knockwurst. Did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
Wow. That's awesome.
My favorite lyric is, there'll be plenty of screaming men and women and children. Why are they screaming at Schmeckfest? What goes on at Schmeckfest that makes everyone scream in terror?
There's
a lot of screaming people listening to that morning on the radio, I bet.
This was long before you were around to write songs for us, so we had to do the best we could. You were still in high school at this point when we had Tony Orlando on as a guest.
But
we did the best we could.
But didn't anyone say, what are we doing? Why are we even talking about Schmeckfest? Why is this a thing? Why is this a subject? Was there no news that week that you had to rely on Schmeckfest?
I can't imagine how it made the cut either, but thank God you bring it up every year so it can't be forgotten.
Well, it shouldn't be. Like the Holocaust, it must be remembered, lest we repeat the crimes of history.
Happy birthday, Tony Orlando.
We have an answer to my trivia question there, Chip.
We sure do.
I think line number two, Rudy. Rudy from Orange may know the answer. Hey, Rudy.
Yo.
Hey, give me the other actors who have played live-action Incredible Hulks.
All right. First, we have Eric Bana.
That's right.
Then we got Edward Norton.
Right.
And my personal favorite, Mark Ruffalo.
He's the best, isn't he? Ruffalo's the best.
He is.
Hold on. We're going to give you a little details, but you're going to WonderCon this weekend.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations also to Carlos and James and George. They're all going to WonderCon this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
NCAA College Basketball Tournament weekend is here for the Final Four and the college championship game on Monday night. We'll talk to our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com 1 hour from right now. RJ, by the way, Allie, you may or may not know this, had a tremendous record picking football games for us in the NFL season.
Yeah, he was killing it for weeks and weeks and weeks and then kind of dropped off at the end.
He made a lot of our, much like the Seahawks, he made a lot of our listeners a lot of money. Anyway, we'll see what he has to say about which way we ought to go this weekend. Our friend Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias, joins us in studio coming up next. Right now, our old friend Lightning is here.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Light, what's going on, man?
Well, I'm covering the drought is what I'm doing here. It turns out that maybe not everyone knows that there's a drought. Wear that?
Now, I want to hear about that, but let me give some backstory. Now, anyone who pays, most people who pay any kind of attention in Southern California are aware that it doesn't rain much and hasn't for a number of years. But now it's getting to what is being called near crisis proportions. Governor Brown, on Wednesday morning, he came out and he said, look, he's standing in front of just what looked like a desert, and it's a place that's supposed to have like a foot of snow on the ground. This is where he had his press conference. And he said, people have to realize we're in a new era. The idea of your nice little green lawn getting watered every day, those days are past. And they're putting in all sorts of new rules into effect, especially with businesses, right, Light, of how much water you aren't allowed to use anymore?
Well, yeah, they're trying to reduce California's water consumption by 25%, which is huge, right? I mean, I drove in this morning and saw that Amber Alert, you know, the big billboard over the freeway that says conserve water, we're in a serious drought. So I think it's finally going to get to most people.
But do you think people, I mean, most people think, oh, that's somebody else, right? That doesn't affect me. I can still wash my car and I can still take 30-minute showers and I can still, I mean, people are just used to the convenience and the comfort of just having as much water as you want to have.
So yes is the answer, and I can prove that with the tape that we'll play in a minute. But we're down to 5% or less of the normal snowpack in the Sierra Nevadas. 5%. It is the lowest recorded snowpack that we've ever recorded. I mean, like, as far back as they've been recording, this is it. This is as low as it's ever been.
I remember as a kid, we always used to say, oh, we'll just get it from Northern California. And that was always the big, like, NorCal against Southern California. We don't want to give you our water. None of us have water. The whole state has nothing right now.
Right. And so there are lakes like Folsom and Oroville that they have. If you go to ca.gov/drought, and they have before and after pictures of these Northern California lakes that are empty. Like the boat docks don't go down far enough to reach the water anymore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
all right,
it's nuts.
Two things. Number one, thanks, Obama. But number two, where'd you go and who'd you talk to, Light?
So I was out, started last weekend and kind of trickled through all this week here. I was out at the Elite Eight game, Staples Center in LA Live.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then a few days later, I was at a car show in Long Beach, and I just wanted to get a kind of a cool cross section of people in LA. And I also, so I had three questions. Are they aware that there's a drought? If so, how are they conserving? And if it got really bad, would they drink water that had been purified that was once poo? Remember you guys were talking about that machine last week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bill Gates had that big plan, and actually ended up finding a guy who could build a machine like that could turn poop into water. And he drank it, and he said, that's the future. All right, let's see what happens when the K-Rock microphones are there. It's lightning strikes.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
Are you aware that there's a drought going on?
Yes, I am.
Have you done anything to conserve water?
Not really, no.
You know that, like, up in the Sierra Nevadas, there's, like, hardly any lake left to drain, you know? The snow cap is all but gone.
No, I actually was not aware about that.
Have you changed your lives at all to conserve water?
Absolutely.
Yes, take shorter showers, reuse water, and use it for the garden or something like that.
Are you washing the car any less?
Oh,
yes.
Gosh, you should see my car.
They're filthy.
The kids are painting stickmen on them. And you know what I've learned? Even after you wash the car when they paint the stickman on, they don't come off.
No, they don't. It's like rubbed right into the paint.
Yeah!
So are you aware that there is a drought going on?
Yes.
Not really, liar. So between the two of you guys, have you done anything to reduce the amount of water that you use?
No change. I don't think the general public who are drinking water is the one that's actually wasting water. I think it's the people that are actually, like, needs to water the crops. Yeah, that's where all the water's going.
You don't think it's just you taking a leak at 5 a.m.?
No, I don't flush at that time.
You're the one that lets it stew all night.
Yeah.
There is a machine that will take your poo and make it potable, so turn it into drinking water. What? Would you drink poo water?
Hell no.
No.
No, that's no. Pee's one thing, poop's another. No.
You know what? If it was, like, Waterworld, then hell yeah, I'll do it. If I was Kevin Costner in Waterworld, then yeah, I would drink my own poo.
Poo water, poo water, poo water.
Are you aware that there's a drought?
What drought?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, this is kind of serious. Like, our lakes up north are empty.
I have seen that. Driving to Mammoth, the lakes are pretty empty. There's some thirsty out there.
Yes, but not you.
No.
Do you feel like there's a drought going on in California?
It doesn't feel like a drought, and I actually mentioned it this morning. I was running the shower, put the shower on, was like,
pouring some water for myself out of the shower, and we're obviously not conserving. So no, we're not knowledgeable of the fact that there is a drought, but no, we're not conserving it.
Actually, I am conserving. I have a Brita. So
now there's a device that scientists have developed recently that will take your poo and turn it into water, drinkable water. Would you use that water? Would you be up for that?
I mean,
being a man that poos a lot, I think I could probably use a device like that.
Poo water.
Do you not know that there was a drought going on?
Oh, I didn't know.
Do you live here?
Yes, I do.
You had no idea that there was a drought happening in Southern California?
No, I didn't know. I don't watch the news, so.
Have you felt the drought? Like, have you changed your lifestyle at all?
Yes, we have. We stopped watering the plants all the time. Our dogs are thirsty, and my wife is almost dehydrated daily.
So there's a drought going on. You change your life at all to suit the drought?
Absolutely. I cut my water back to exactly what they told me to. I go every other day. I water at the nighttime, and but I do control my water consumption the way I wash my truck and the way I water my lawn.
So how often are you washing the truck?
Once a week.
Down from what?
Once a week.
So you haven't changed. So there's a drought going on. Have you guys felt like, are you aware of that?
Yes. Aware of the rumor.
Yeah, it's a rumor.
Sounds like it.
There's a machine that they've developed, and they haven't put it in practice yet, but it will turn human excrement poo into drinkable water. Would you drink poo water?
No.
I'd have to smell it first. Can't taste like last night's burrito. Yeah. It just can't.
That's grim.
Foul,
that
right? Is grim.
People are aware of it and really don't care so much. That's what's going on here, right? Like,
not really. They just don't know. It's not affecting them.
Lightning strikes. Thanks
all
for stopping
by. All
I'm
saying is poo water.
Seventh annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. The 2015 lineup is spectacular, as they all are. Tenacious D, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, our friend Brad Williams, and the great Fluffy himself, ladies and gentlemen, Gabriel Iglesias, who joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean show right now.
Thank you. El Gabriel Iglesias, aquí en la mañana, que rock. I'm excited.
Exactly,
I'm standing
sir.
Here. Yeah, I'm standing here next to the King of Mexico.
Hola. You two together, man.
That's all the Spanish.
Perfect combination. That's a whole lot of Spanish to order food.
So, Fluff, how have you been, man? The last time we saw you was right around Christmas time. You came in, you were getting ready to do those sold-out two nights at the Honda Center. And what's your 2015 been like? You just been on the road, just getting done?
Man, yeah, it's been insane between the sitcom and the touring and the we're getting ready to launch. That don't sound right. Magic Mike XXL coming out in theaters July 1st. So there's a bunch of stuff going on.
One of the shows that you have doing is, I imagine, it's not even most comedians' dreams because it's so far out of the realm of possibility for most comedians. But it's playing Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Now, that's like Seinfeld territory. That's Louis C.K. territory. That's George Carlin back in the day. Probably not too many more. Chris Rock. Not too many more, though, play a room like that, right?
It's pretty elite. So that's it's a handful of comics that have had the chance to play the garden.
Madison Square Garden.
What is it like when you're doing, obviously, you do the smaller shows, then you do something like a Honda Center. Do you have to cater the jokes according to audience size, or do you just go with your regular bits?
You know, there is timing involved. So it's, you know, if you're at a comedy club, if I'm performing at the Ice House in Pasadena, which holds about 180 people, it hits really quick.
Yeah.
So that, you know, like you say the joke, punchline hits, and then it's really fast. Whereas at, you know, for example, Honda Center, you got to pace yourself.
Right.
Once you deliver a line, you got to give them a second, and then you got to wait for that laughter to come in, and then you continue. So, a show that takes 45 minutes at a comedy club can take an hour at a huge venue like that. So you do have to slow it down, or you'll step on the laughs.
Now, your movie that we love so much, that was filmed where? Was that in Sacramento or Fresno? Where was that?
That was San Jose at the SAP Arena.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was a good sized venue.
Oh, it was wonderful. I got to watch Monday Night Raw the other night. I was actually in the arena, so it was pretty cool to just sit there and go like, "Yeah, this is where I did my special." And
awesome.
Now I'm watching Pyro and Brock Lesnar. It was awesome.
Now this Madison Square Garden show is coming up on April 17th in New York City. Obviously, I don't know why you're doing this, because this is one of the coolest things that anyone has ever offered for the Kevin and Bean listeners. But we have a trip for two to see Gabriel Iglesias at Madison Square Garden, including airfare, hotel, and two tickets to the show, but we're looking for the biggest Fluffy fans we can find. You really got to know your Fluffy. So this would be probably somebody who's been following you for a while, right?
Stalkers.
Or is a stalker.
Ex-girlfriends.
Or an ex-girlfriend, perhaps. So call right now at 1-800-
520-1067. Real quick, we'll get a couple of contestants on the line. We got a game that we're going to play to win a trip to New York City, Madison Square Garden, to see Fluffy. All right, while we're screening for those calls and getting them on the phone, I got a funny email yesterday from a guy who knew you back in high school, Fluff.
What?
His name is Steven. He says, you guys went to a state speech tournament together, and you actually lettered in speech.
Was it Calderon?
Doesn't have a last name here.
Steve.
He was hilarious
back then. I'm pretty sure I know who we're talking about.
He was hilarious back then, and his speech entry was basically stand-up. Tell me about lettering in speech. How did that happen?
I got kicked off the football team for talking smack back to the coach, and they had an opening on the speech team, and I'm like, well, he's pretty confident speaking to people.
Was it like a debate team type thing where you actually have to do speeches on serious topics, or were you always just doing comedy?
There was different categories. There was like original prose and poetry, which was free speech. You could, you know, talk about anything and everything. There was debate. There was serious topic type speeches. Obviously for me, it was just, you know, free form. It was, you can say and do whatever you want. And, I got to go to Sacramento for the state speech championships and, placed fifth. And
do you think that being in speech class in high school helped you become a better comedian?
Absolutely. And my teacher, June Garner from Long Beach Wilson High School, class of 1994, she pushed me so much. She goes, you know what? She goes, you're really good at talking. You're not really great at writing stuff down. She goes, but you love getting up in front of people and you love talking. That's your strength. Get up there. And it was the only class that I got an A in. All my other classes were DCs and, finished in summer school. But speech, I got an A in.
How uncool was your Letterman jacket, though?
You know what? I couldn't afford a Letterman jacket back in the day.
Way to go, Dave. Way to bring
cool.
that up.
I still got all the letters.
Well, I mean, you know, you got football. We're like, yeah, football. And then speech.
Yeah.
Why don't you denigrate the man for his one accomplishment in high school?
You should go back and buy one now. That's your merch.
My son goes to the school now that I went to back in the day. And, I don't think the Letterman jackets are a big deal now. Then, I think more so. But now he's like, you know, I'm good.
You're not going to give it to your girl for the sock hop.
No.
It's different.
Wow, but now, Fluffy, you can not only buy the school, you can buy the state. So you're fine. You got the last one. All right, let's meet the super Fluffy fans that are on the line, and let's find out who is going to New York City to see Fluffy at Madison Square Garden. Which lines do we want here? Let's start with Manuel. He's on line one. He's calling us from Los Angeles. Manuel, what's going on, man?
Doing good.
Tell us why you think you're a big Fluffy fan.
What was that?
Why do you think you're a big Fluffy fan? Why are you qualified to play?
Oh man, I've been following this guy for a while, you know, and seen him twice. I'm gonna see him this weekend.
Okay, all right, good enough. Let's meet your competition. This is gonna be Mondo. He's calling us from Fillmore. He's on line two. Hey Mondo, what's your story?
Hi, I've been a big fan of Gabriel Iglesias since before Martin had long hair, when he had the short hair.
Wow.
And when he had Felipe Esparza as his right wing man.
Okay. All right. So we got Manuel and Mondo. Now, what did you and Dave come up with, Fluffy? How are we going to do this?
Well, we want to know who knows their fluff.
Why do I feel like there was supposed to be like echo?
Reverb?
Yeah,
there was supposed to be that. All right, let's try it again. Ready? Who knows their fluffy?
I like it.
Wow.
All right, we got time for a couple of questions here, and we'll see how they do. Now, how's it going to work, Dave? Are we going to go to Manuel first, give him a shot at it, and then Mondo will do the next question?
Yeah, we'll go to Manuel, and then we'll go to Mondo, and then whoever gets the most out of, six questions?
All right, we'll see how it goes.
We'll go to New York.
All right, Manuel, you're up first. Listen, here's your fluffy question.
You all right there, Manuel?
Right? You okay?
Yep.
All right, here we go. What was Fluffy's job before becoming a comedian? Was it A, a lifeguard, B, a car salesman, or C, a gardener?
I thought he worked at a cell phone company.
That's not one of the options.
I did, but I also had other employment, Manuel. I'm not a one-trick pony.
A gardener?
Fluffy?
No!
Oh. Wow.
Lo siento.
What were you, Fluffy?
I was actually a lifeguard.
A lifeguard? How about that? Boy, that would terrify me if I looked up and I saw you trying to run to save me in the water. I'd be like, I'm going to drown. I am going to drown. He's going to have a heart attack running into the beach. All right. Zero for Manuel. Let's see how Mondo does. He's on line two.
All right, Mondo. How much weight did Fluffy lose in the last year? Was it A, 30 pounds, B, 65 pounds, or C, 105 pounds?
C, 105 pounds.
Left.
That is correct.
With no hesitation, Mondo. Excellent. All right. One to nothing.
Mondo's in the lead.
All right, Manuel. Manuel, we'll go back to you. Good luck, sir.
All right. What is Fluffy's favorite drink? Is it A, Arnold Palmer's, B, Diet Coke, or C, Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah.
So it's A, B, Diet Coke?
That is correct.
That is correct. All right. Very well done. Back to Mondo now.
All right. What is Fluffy's middle name? Is it A, Juan, B, Jesus, or C, Jorge?
Would it be Jesus, Dave?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Honestly, Dave.
You are correct, buddy.
What was your answer?
Jesus.
That's what even Allie got picked up on that.
All right, Allie, what's the score going into the final round?
Mondo has 2, Manuel has 1.
All right, Manuel, you got to get this one right.
So, Manuel, you got to get this one right, yeah. All right, where was Fluffy's first comedy special filmed? Was it A, New York, B, Bakersfield, or C, El Paso?
Bakersfield.
I'm sorry, bro. It actually wasn't. My first comedy special on Comedy Central was in New York.
So we're going to say goodbye to Manuel, and we're going to say to Mondo, you are going to New York City to see Gabriel Iglesias at Madison Square Garden. How about that?
That's awesome, man.
It is awesome. Airfare, hotel, 2 tickets to the show. Fluffy, why are you giving this to us, man? This is too generous.
That's the Fluffy hookup, man. I'm taking care of my peeps.
And it looks like Mondo knows his Fluffy.
He'll be right back on K-Rock. Gabriel Iglesias in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Fluffy Guy on Twitter. You can see him Friday nights at 8:30 on ABC on the hilarious Cristela as well, which is doing really well, right, Fluff?
Yes.
Hey, why can't I hear my man?
Yes.
There he is. Hang on. I made fun of you last time you came in about that show because I swear to God, I've never seen a guy on camera playing a character on TV who's more like the real guy. You sit there in your Hawaiian shirts eating Doritos watching television. That's what you do for a half an hour on Friday nights at ABC.
I love the fact that Cristela allowed me to be as comfortable as possible on the show so that I didn't have to change my hair. I didn't have to shave off the goatee. I didn't have to change wear pants.
Yep.
And they provided me with all
the Hawaiian
shirts.
They do everything but call you by your real name.
Yeah.
All right.
They might as well have called me Fluffy
right.
for the show.
I know. Let's talk about your weekend because everybody tries to be busy on the weekend. Everybody likes to they take advantage of having that Saturday and that Sunday off to go out and do stuff they don't have time for during the week. You're going the opposite way. You're working harder than you've ever worked, and you're literally trying to kill yourself this weekend. What's it look like starting the minute this interview ends?
As soon as I'm done here, I'm going over to LAX, and I have a flight. I'm going to Las Vegas. I have a show. I have 2 shows this weekend at the Mirage. But before I have the shows, I'm doing a meet and greet at Walmart, and I want to say Henderson, Nevada, from I think 2 to 5, and then after that I gotta go get ready for the show. I have the show at the Mirage, and then the next morning I fly back here to LA, do April Foolishness, and then I jump on a plane and head back to Vegas for a 10 p.m. show.
What is happening?
Wait a minute.
And then
happy
Easter.
So you're going to be on stage with us just after 8 o'clock tomorrow night at the Shrine. You're going to do your set, and then you're going to go immediately to a plane, jump on a plane, fly to Las Vegas, go to another stage, and do another set tomorrow night in a different city.
Yes. Different state.
Different state. How often have you done that before?
A couple times.
2 shows in 1 night in different cities.
That's only happened a couple times.
Wow.
I guess these are good problems to have, right?
They're awesome problems to have, being too busy. You know, it's one of those, I wish we could clone me so I could send me out on the road more.
Seriously. Can you imagine if Fluffy could play in every city across the country every night? It'd be awesome. All right. So that's what Fluffy's weekend's like. So if you're planning on coming to the show, if you're lucky enough to have tickets for the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, be sure to be there on time because Fluffy is going to be essentially up first right after the Kevin and Bean opening act contest winner. Now, did we tell you about this, Fluffy? You know what we're doing here?
I know what we're doing.
This is a great deal. For folks who haven't been listening, I don't know why we never thought about this before, but there are so many people who are really, really funny working stand-up in Southern California,
And an opportunity like this to get in front of 6,000 people, to be on a bill with people like Fluffy, with people like Ralphie Mae, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Slesker, Brad Williams, Tenacious D. I mean, that could really turn somebody's career around, that kind of exposure, right?
That's amazing exposure. If I could have gotten that early on, I would have been like, woo!
Yeah, you're going to be playing
exposed
a big
at the Hop in La Puente.
But you nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of promoters are like, hey, you're going to do big things, bro.
So we had hundreds of entries. We narrowed it down to the top 10, and they have been up on the website for the past week or so with a couple of minutes of stand-up. And you can still see them, by the way, if you're looking for some new comedians you want to follow. You can go to kevinabean.com or krock.com. So we asked the listeners to go and vote who they wanted to see open Kevin and Bean's April Fool's since 2015. And right now we are about to call our winner. Chip, let's dial him or her up and break the good news that that person is opening Kevin and Bean's April Fool's since 2015. At the Shrine. I imagine, you know, you're talking about playing the big rooms like Madison Square Garden, Fluffy. Whoever wins this, being on stage at the Shrine, is going to seem terrifying, I bet.
6,000 people is no joke.
No.
It's a lot of people for comedy, right?
Oh, of course.
All right.
Please be home.
Yeah.
Please be home.
Hello?
Eddie Pence?
Yes.
Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself, is sitting here with us, too.
What's up, Eddie?
I didn't wake up for no reason. This is amazing.
Eddie, you're the opening act winner for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's since 2015.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're kidding. April Fool's, bro.
You were the worst April Fool.
Eddie.
You know how hard it is for comics to wake up this early?
I was going to say, were you up all night and you stayed up hoping that you'd get the call? Yeah.
I was at the Comedy Store till like 2.
Oh, my God. Wow. Eddie, your name sounds familiar to me. How come?
I've been on your show twice.
You've been on our show twice?
Bean.
You are so unmemorable.
I know. Well, the first thing you ever said to me was like, hey, you're the most unfamous person ever on this show.
Were you the guy that we had on years ago that I made fun of because he didn't have a Wikipedia page?
Yes, and you drove me for 2 years to finally get a Wikipedia page. It was a life obsession for 2 years.
Wow.
And did you turn that around? Do you have one now?
I have one. And then I tweeted you guys when I got one, and you said, oh, that must be the last page of the internet.
Gosh.
So what's your...
I have a whole wall dedicated to you in my bedroom.
That's fantastic. Taking a turn.
You know... Yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy, Eddie?
16 years.
Oh, my gosh. And what kinds of rooms do you usually play?
Whatever I can get into.
Comedy Store at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, stuff like that.
What's the biggest crowd you've ever done comedy in front of?
About 900 people.
Oh, well, you're going to have fun tomorrow night then.
Yeah, 6,000, bro.
I'm excited.
Fluffy, what's your advice for Mr. Pence here about how he should approach this gig?
Take some deep breaths backstage, and then just know that when you're in front of that many people, you got to slow your set down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And wait for the laughs, because you're going to be tempted, especially once you hear that first big roar, to keep going. But you got to just enjoy the ride.
Well, I only got 3 jokes. That should be okay.
Awesome.
Well, Eddie, you sent some great tape to us that we've had up at kevinabean.com this week. I don't know how you did it. I mean, were you real active on the internet in terms of getting your friends and fans involved in the voting? Did you wage a campaign out there?
I got my mom behind me, and that's because she's always looking for me to get out of this business.
Sure. So. Yeah. Well, you won it fair and square. You got the most votes. You are the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's since 2015.
That's
We're excited
awesome.
To see you. We're really looking forward. You're on the bill along with Tenacious D and Ralphie Mae and Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Slesker, Brad Williams, and our friend The Fluff. So we'll see you tomorrow night. All right, Amy?
Yeah. I can't wait to put this on my Wikipedia page.
I can't wait to read it. Thank you, sir. See you tomorrow.
Congratulations, Eddie.
That's cool.
Wow.
All right, Fluff, you got a private plane waiting for you at 8 a.m.? You better hit the road.
I got to hit the road. And you know what? You guys actually, you inspired him. You saw that? You know, you guys made fun of him. You wrote him about not being professional enough, and he started doing things. So that's great.
Well, one
and
thing,
it paid
nice,
off for
nice little kick
if
in the
I
butt
can just him. Bring this up about you, you are so accessible to your fans, which I think once you reach a level, you have a social media guy, you have someone answering your tweets. You do this all yourself, which is something that I think keeps you so grounded, but also opens yourself up to fans as well, right?
Yeah, you could tell it's me tweeting because of the bad grammar.
There you go. But it's important to you.
It is. Sometimes it could become a problem, but, you know, I don't want to send someone out to get me food. I want to get the food.
Right.
I don't want somebody speaking on my behalf. I want to know that my words are my words. You know, so.
Fluffy, I don't think the problem has been that you haven't been able to get enough food, though.
I mean, knew you were going there. I knew you were going
there. Hurtful today. So hurtful.
Eddie, no one is safe.
No.
You are the best, sir. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for coming in.
See you tomorrow night.
Congratulations once again to comedian Eddie Pence. He is going to be the opening act for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015 tomorrow night at the Shrine. He told us, Ralph, I don't know if you're listening, he told us the biggest crowd he'd ever played in front of is 900 to do comedy before.
That's a pretty good size.
It's a great size club. Yeah, that's you're doing okay.
But it's tomorrow night, 6,000.
6,000. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So way to go, Eddie. And I especially want to thank everybody else who entered this year. I really was so impressed with how much great comedy is going on in Southern California. I mean, it was really tough to narrow it down to just 10. So hopefully we'll do the opening act contest again next year and somebody else will get a chance to do it. So that'll be cool. RJ Bell from pregame.com joins us right after the top of the hour talking Final Four basketball this weekend. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
It was so nice when we did the opening act contest to have 10 comedians and for everyone involved with the show to say, no matter who the listeners pick, we're completely fine with it because they're all great.
Absolutely.
It was such a relief to know that we couldn't get stuck with anyone bad because we had so many great entries. And there were great entries that didn't even make it in the top 10. It was, as being mentioned, it was hard to narrow it down.
And you know what the best part about the entries were, the top 10, is that none of them were Armenian.
Is that the best?
Wow, man.
I don't mean any Armenian. No. I mean a specific Armenian.
I don't know. I don't know about your racism if I can deal with it anymore. That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about showbiz news. Congratulations, Vanilla Ice. He's not a free man, but his case involving that Florida home burglary is finally been adjudicated. He's only got to do 100 hours of community service, then the case will be dismissed once that is completed. You may remember in February he was arrested for stealing items out of a foreclosed house next to the one he was renovating for his DIY network TV series, The Vanilla Ice Crew. He was found pulling a couch and like a pool heater and other stuff out of the house. The items were returned. Vanilla Ice says it was all a big misunderstanding. So they've settled out in court. Just 100 hours of community service, and that's all.
How is it a misunderstanding if you're pulling a pool filter or whatever it was out of somebody else's basement?
I didn't know this was the house. I thought it was the other house that I was renting. It's right next door. Plus, I've got a wooden hand. He's got a wooden hand, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he does.
Paul McCartney says his wife wasn't happy about his latest collaboration with Kanye West. Told Q magazine that Nancy Chevelle couldn't believe how many times Kanye used the N-word on the single All Day, which features Paul.
He sure does.
He said it really shocked Nancy, Paul said, because she'd been to school with a lot of black kids and had been immersed in that experience. But I told her his school of thought is that he's reclaimed the N-word. He's reappropriated it. And if you're going to work with Kanye, you have to accept who he is. McCartney ended the interview by saying, it's Kanye, come on, not Gordon Lightfoot. Nice Gordon Lightfoot reference, Paul. Way to be, Beatle.
Look, I am obviously not the person who has any say over what Kanye chooses to say or express in his art or the experience that he's had or wants to share with the world. I just know as a listener, I'm at the point now in 2015 where I'm not as comfortable hearing the N-word 80 times in a song as I may have been 10 years ago.
Really?
It's weird. The change. I think we've kind of all changed. We've all kind of grown up and become sensitive to the fact that that word makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and I've become one of them.
Bean wants to take it back for the racists. He wants to take it back from the people who have taken it back. That's what he wants.
I think I'd be fine if it just went away, I guess is what I'm saying.
And it's so funny in McCartney's interview, he doesn't recognize that Gordon Lightfoot is the biggest user of the N-word I've ever heard. A huge racist. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The original lyrics were the wreck of the Edmund Fitz N-word.
No.
Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
Ralph,
that was the original
lyric.
If you could read my mind, N-word. That was another one of the famous lyrics.
No.
Yes. Sundown with an N-word. All those songs. All Gordon Lightfoot.
Make sense.
N-word songs. Sundown, you better take care, N-word. He used to sing until they made him change the lyrics. There's only about 8 people who know what I'm talking about, but they're laughing so hard right now.
They sure are.
And while we're talking about music, what do you do if you're John Mellencamp and you're a bleeding heart liberal and your famous home state of Indiana now has this BS religious freedom law that says pizza parlors don't have to give pizza to gay people? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
You pack up that little pink house and you get out of Dodge. No?
Dodge is in Kansas, by the way.
Oh, thanks for not paying attention to the horrible part of the joke.
I heard it. File. He said he seriously thought about canceling upcoming shows in Indiana. He said, I didn't want the resulting tax revenues from ticket sales, concessions, and the like to help fill the same government coffers that would enforce this terrible law. But then he realized that he didn't want the state government keeping him apart from what he calls his most important audience, my Indiana fans who have been there for me since the very beginning. So he's going to continue. He's going to continue on, and he will perform shows that he has scheduled to play in Indianapolis in May. So
these boycotts can get complicated. I mean, Wilco was the first major label band to kind of pull out of cancel a show because of this law, and they took a lot of flack from their fans who are like, look. You know, this was our anniversary gift or our birthday or something like that. We're just fans. We just want to come see you. You not playing the show doesn't change the law. You're just hurting people that that aren't involved in it. It's a complicated, multifaceted issue for sure.
Yep. Real quick email before I get to birthdays. This comes from listener Dan Bauman. Kevin and Bean, I recently took a trip to the United Arab Emirates for business. I realized that my seatmate was none other than Henry Winkler. I didn't want to bother him, but he struck up a conversation, and we talked for nearly the entire trip. A fascinating man. He told me stories about Happy Days and Arrested Development. We talked about his film career and his charity work. We parted ways, and I believe I made a new friend. It all happened because I took a trip to Abu Dhabi. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I took a trip to Abu Dhabi. I took a trip to Abu Dhabi. I took a trip to Abu Dhabi.
So the listener didn't drag Henry Winkler into that story for any particular reason?
See, he was setting you up. He thought it was going to go with
Fozzie,
but he spun around, and he hit you with Abu Dhabi, and then signs the email with, see what I did there. See what he did?
Asshole.
Dan Bauman, he faked the left, and then boom, he hits you with the right cross. Knockout.
That's real talk right there.
That is real talk right there, man. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alec Baldwin's 57 years old, David Hyde Pierce is 56, Eddie Murphy's 54, Mike Ness is 53 years old today, Adam Scott is 42, Ari Spears, very funny comedian, is 40 years old today, Matthew Good from The Good Wife is 37, Kobe Smulders turns 33, and Amanda Bynes is 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the segments we look forward to the most here on The Kevin and Bean Show is when we get a few minutes with our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Big, big weekend in Las Vegas as everyone's eyes are going to be turned to college basketball. RJ, welcome back to The Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I've got to be honest, I've very much looked forward to this segment.
Well,
especially this week.
How about before we went on the air when Allie was doing nothing but smack-talking you about your participation in the Kevin Bean Party Bus bracket for the tournament, though?
Well, wait a minute. Smack-talking about I'm going to take the title?
I don't believe that happened, Bean. I believe the only smack-talk is that, A, RJ hasn't felt the need to give us the money for the bracket yet, which is fine. I mean, take your time, RJ. We're supposed to assume
he's good for it? Is that what's happening?
Here's what I figured. Why send it to you guys and then have you send it right back to me?
Wow. Wow, bold. It's a bold move.
So, Allie, a guy like RJ, who the nation counts on to give them counsel for how to bet in things like office pools, how's he doing?
Well, here's the thing. With even letting him in this bracket, Kevin said it shouldn't happen. This is ridiculous. He was very mad at producer Christine, and I agree.
Because RJ's a professional.
He's going to win, right?
There's no guarantee. Listen, if you got 16 people, it's not like I'm going to automatically win. I do think the odds were better than 1 in 16.
Sure.
And I did wonder about the wisdom of invite me in. Once you did, I felt obligated to excel.
You felt obligated to excel. Well, excel you did.
You did.
Currently tied for second right after Mike Crank from Jack Radio. Then we've got Stryker. You are tied with him, followed by Allie McKay.
How about that?
So now,
all right, listen, RJ, before we talk about the actual games this weekend, there is something I wanted to ask you about, and that is with the looming potentially perfect season that the Wildcats are going to have if they can win two more games here, a lot of people are now going, where do they rank in history? And a lot of people are bringing up the 91 UNLV Rebels. Fair comparisons to talk about teams from the past versus teams of the present, or are there so many factors involved that it's almost impossible to make an A-B comparison between clubs?
you make a great point, which is there's a fundamental question about the physicality today versus back in the day. A lot of people, especially in the NFL, let's say you watch, you know, I'm a big Steelers fan, right? Jack Lambert was their Hall of Fame middle linebacker. He was 215 pounds in the late 70s. So I think with a sport like football, it's hard to look at the all-time greats and extrapolate how they would perform today with the physicality. I think basketball, it's a little bit less the case. And, you know, so that is a debate. Some people believe that even, let's say, Bill Russell, how would a Bill Russell do today? He was only like 6'9", right? Mm-hmm. So, but that said, we've talked to a number of professional bettors, bookmakers, and talked to them about how good really is this Kentucky team. And the consensus is a really good team, but not an all-time great team. One bettor I work with, actually, a professional, says he would have 20-plus, over 20 teams throughout college basketball history favored over this Kentucky team.
Huh. How about that? Even though they might go undefeated in 2015, he thinks there are 20 teams in history that could beat him. Now, is that partly because of whatever their strength of schedule is, the competition that they've had to get to this point this year?
Yeah, very savvy point. The SEC was not a great conference by any stretch. But also just because of the fact that the entire college basketball has been watered down. I mean, you don't have to be too old to remember, you know, the Patrick Ewings and the way that, you know, Ralph Sampson in his third year. And, I mean, there were some really, really good college basketball teams. Now it's one and done for the very best players, so it's very watered down. So relatively, compared to the other teams, Kentucky is as good, if not better, than any team in history. And if they go 40-0, they would relatively, compared to the competition, be better than any team in history. But objectively, with, you know, when it comes to just how would they match up against, let's say, the 91 UNLV team, I just think you look at that team, is Larry Johnson was a junior. These are guys that are multiple years older. I mean, the team that would be favored the most in history is the 1968 UCLA team. Lou Alcindor, you know, Kareem later. Lou Alcindor was a junior. Imagine one of the great players of all time as a junior against 18-year-olds. I think that logic makes a ton of sense. Maybe if his Kentucky team played together for 3 or 4 years, they'd be one of the best of all time. But they've only played together mostly 1 year.
That is an excellent point, RJ. All right, pregame.com, where you can find out everything there is to know about all the sports and all the lines. Let's talk about whether Kentucky is good enough to beat Wisconsin on Saturday and then beat either Duke or Michigan State on Monday night.
Yeah, clear favorites on Saturday's game, favored by 5. This line opened up at 6, and the professionals, the big bettors, came in on Wisconsin. Boom, boom, brought it from 6 all the way down to 5. So the pros have been on the underdog here, Wisconsin. Kentucky still favored, though, clear favorites. But, man, if you've been on the Kentucky bandwagon, it has not been profitable. 4 games so far, only 1 time has Kentucky cashed against the Vegas number.
Interesting. And you have to bet how much money to win $100 on Kentucky this weekend?
So if it comes to winning the title, right, so we've got title odds. Kentucky is better than even money, so -130. So $130 wins you $100 if they win the title. Duke 3-1, Wisconsin 4-1, Michigan State 12-1. So big underdog with Michigan State. So if you kind of extrapolate from this, the assumption is Kentucky, the one team, has a better chance, because they're minus money favorites now, than all 3 other teams combined to win the title. So clear favorites.
That's interesting. And Michigan State, if I remember correctly, everybody else is a number 1 seed. They were a number 7 seed. That's why their odds have been so long, right?
Yeah, they were 75-1 entering the tournament. And a story that's really made the rounds in social media, there was a casino owner, a guy that owns a casino, actually a Detroit-themed casino in Vegas. Imagine that. Think about that business plan. Let's take Detroit to Vegas, right? So, but
that's what everyone wants when they get to the strip, man.
I want some Detroit. But here's the thing. He bet $20,000 back in December on Michigan State at 50-1 to win, obviously, $1 million.
Whoa, wow.
So right now, this guy has gotten a ton of attention, and rightfully so. And the funny thing is, it's a small sports book, called the Golden Nugget to book the bet. So they actually had to have the owner of the casino okay the bet. So imagine you walk in, you say, I want to bet $20K. The guy's got to call not just upstairs but to the top floor to talk to the owner. Owner said okay, and now the casino took the bet, is very, very nervous about having to pay off potentially $1 million.
I love that. I love when people put money down with their heart, even though they know the odds are against them. I was thinking about that, RJ, as we say goodbye here, that when I was looking at the baseball odds for the upcoming season that starts this weekend, and I saw that the Phillies were 500-1 to win the World Series. And I thought, that's unbelievable to see odds like that in any sport for any team. I mean, if I were a Phillies fan, I might put money down on that just because why the hell not?
It was 3 or 4 years ago, Philly was the favorite to win the World Series. I mean, that is one of the quickest reversals I've ever seen with the Phillies.
Yeah. Final four lines and so much more at pregame.com. You should be following our friend RJ Bell on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great tournament weekend, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
That's the latest from Mumford & Sons here on the world famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ. Still takes some getting used to hearing that and going, oh, Mumford & Sons, right.
Yeah, it's not Mumford & Sons at all.
It is Mumford & Sons.
It's not.
Just banjo free. Hey, speaking of great ideas, how about our friend Beer Mug, who announced to us early this week that he has a great idea for some part-time money?
Yeah!
Mug?
I got a money-making scheme.
I don't know why Muggs needs another money-making opportunity because he's making so much money on the gambling that I can't imagine that he can spend as much as he's got already.
97% success rate with his
gambling
plan.
You know it, Ralph. You know it.
That's what I've been told. But maybe he's just going hard because he plans to just be completely retired by 40. So he's just trying to get a huge pile of cash to sit on or something.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, then he'll have money to live on for the rest of his life if he lives for 5 years.
How dare you?
Muggs decided he wants to be an Uber driver. Now, I know on the surface, I don't know anything about Uber driver. I know that on the surface. But I know on the surface that Muggs' idea was you work whenever you want.
Yep.
You make tons of money. No downside. Why not? But there's got to be more to being an Uber driver than just that. It can't be that easy, right? It has to be a tough way to make a living.
No. It's the easiest way, and everyone gets rich. That's the one thing I know about Beer Mug. He does his research, so I can't imagine if he wants to do this that there's any downside at all. And I like the fact that he plans on a $13,000 outpouring of money first before he becomes an Uber driver to buy a new car.
That might have gone down recently, by the way.
Why?
$13,000 might be a little
drastic.
Are you
going to steal a car instead?
No. I'm going to try to get half that.
Oh.
You know what? If you spend a dollar, you are already in the hole to your bookie to the tune of $2,500. If you spend a dollar to get a job, if you send away for an instructional booklet on how to stuff envelopes in the privacy of your own home, you're already a dollar down.
But Ralph, in 2 weeks, I can pay my bookie off like that with Uber.
Okay. So what Muggs is talking about is there are some restrictions if you're an Uber driver as to how late model the car has to be. You can't just show up with a beater to pick somebody up for their ride to the airport. So Muggs is talking about how he needs to buy a new car to get started with Uber. But that's just the first of the expenses. There's obviously the insurance on the car. There's the upkeep on the car. There's all the gas that you're going to be spending as you're driving people around.
Yes.
I just want to hear from the Kevin and Bean listeners who are rideshare drivers. It doesn't even have to be with Uber. It can be with Lyft or any other company. If you're doing this, how's it working out for you? Is it a good business for Muggs or anyone to get into, or is it really tough to make a living doing it?
And let's not forget how much you have to spend on those little red and white wrapped mints.
I was going to say, what are you going to do to separate yourself from the other drivers?
Small bottles of water.
I want the water. I want the mints. Right. I want the car chargers. I want it all. What are you going to do different?
I am a frequent customer of Uber, and I've been. Mm-hmm. This is part of my research. I talked to other Uber drivers.
Part of my research is I let people drive me around.
Yeah, no, I've been talking. And he said that's
losing money again.
Oh, sorry. Water. Have a pen and paper handy in case, you know, your customer needs to write something down.
Yeah, we know how pen and paper works, Beer Mug. We know what people use pen and paper for.
I didn't need to explain that.
Have water in case they want to take water into their body and hydrate themselves.
Have 3 different types of chargers for the droids, for the iPhones, for the iPhone 4, whatever. And make sure that
the iPhone 4.
Well,
in case they live in the past.
The iPhone 4 is, yeah.
some people still have that charger. It's an old charger. But, you know, just anything you can do to make the customer as happy as possible right. so you get a high rating.
If you really don't make the customers happy, you won't become an Uber
How
driver.
How dare you?
That would in other words, when the Uber pulls up, Beer Mug is not behind the wheel.
That would make them the happiest, I think.
All right, so we want to hear from Kevin Amin listeners who are rideshare drivers with Uber or another company. We want to find out what it's really like at 1-800-520-1067. And by the way, isn't there also a potential just danger/creepy factor with being in a job where you have perfect strangers climbing into the back of your car? Wouldn't that kind of give you pause a little bit, Muggs?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that, honestly, and there have been some stories of, like, shady Uber customers, but at the end of the day, I think you could track those people down because their name is tied in with a credit card that they're using for the service.
So yeah, the survivors in your family could track that person down after you're already dead.
Authorities could find the person after you've been put into a wood chipper.
I know kung fu.
But how does that help you to stop from being robbed or being involved, get in the middle of a drug deal? I mean, there's a lot of bad things that can happen. If you're an Uber driver, you're out on the streets of Los Angeles at 2 a.m., Muggs. You don't know, man.
I won't work this. I'm only going to work from noon to 12:15. You know, another downside, Muggs, is you probably have to wear shoes. If you're an Uber driver, to work the pedals and all, you wouldn't be able to have your flip-flops on, you filthy beggar.
All right, rideshare drivers, we want to hear from you. Ishmael, you please hang on. Dan as well. Corrine, 1-800-520-1067. What's the life like of being a rideshare driver? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll give you your final chance to win tickets for Kevin Amin's April Fool's Just 2015, talking about Party Bus Section for the Shrine tomorrow night between 9 and 9:30. You can win those tickets. Right now, we're trying to help out our man Beer Mug. Like a lot of Americans, he is looking for a way to supplement his income.
Yeah!
So part-time job is what he's thinking about.
I'm going to be a drummer.
No one's paying him to drum yet, but maybe he could be paid to drive people around as an Uber driver. And we're taking your calls on the Kevin Amin Show at 1-800-520-1067. Give us the real nitty-gritty. How's that working out for you if you have done it? Let's start with Michelle. She's up first. She's in Anaheim here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Going on? Hello. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, Michelle. Where do you drive, first of all, if you don't mind me asking? What area?
Mostly Orange County, but on occasion I wind up in L.A. when I get a passenger that wants to go from Orange County to L.A.
I think Orange County would be great. High-end people, nice people, great experiences.
People throwing up in my car.
That's awesome. How often has that happened? I mean, how often do you deal with, like, just total drunks? Because I imagine a lot of times people use Uber because they can't drive.
Yeah, I drive the drunk hours. I drive like 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. on Friday and Saturdays.
Oh.
And in the 10 months I've been driving, it's happened four times.
Michelle, Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it true that Uber will pay for your detailing bill? They'll give you like $300 if that does happen?
They will pay you up to $250. It depends on the extent of the damage, so to speak. I've been fortunate that I'm a little smarter than the average bear, and I carry 2 gallon Ziploc bags in all the door pockets of the car and one under my driver's seat. And fortunately, all four of them have made it in the bag, but I still had to listen to them, and it's still not a pleasant odor.
I could just hire people to throw up in my car, and now I'm making extra money on top of the money I'm driving for Uber.
Well, that just happened.
There's absolutely no guarantee that they'll pay you the full $250. There's drivers that, you know, got $50, and they had to have the, you know, front door taken apart because it went down in the door.
Oh, in the window, yes.
I love that Muggs doesn't even work for Uber yet. He's already trying to figure out how to scam them. Have you noticed that?
He's cutting corners already.
Hey, Michelle, can
I'm not going to drive it up. It's got people vomiting in my car.
Michelle, in terms of safety, are you ever afraid?
In the 10 months I've been driving, there's been only two occasions where I felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a guy that was, like, blacked out drunk. And, you know, it was just a question of, you know, trying to keep him happy because I was pretty sure that if he got upset with me, he was punching me in the face.
Mm. Oh,
and,
dude.
And, well, you know, at the end of the ride, he just wanted me to listen to him talk to his girlfriend to try and get her to give him a booty call. So it was just, you know, he just tried to make him happy. And then the other one, I picked up a gentleman in West Hollywood who had probably done way too many drugs, and he turned into Gollum from Lord of the Rings in my front seat and started talking to the precious.
That was actually Beer Mugs, so.
Wow.
But there's a bright side to all that, Michelle, because the more blacked out they are, the more you could drive them around and just rack up their bill.
Yeah, wow. Well, when they get the bill the next day and they realize that you actually did that and then they call Uber on you, you're likely to get yourself deactivated.
Oh, but there's that.
Beer mug. Yeah.
This, once again, Beer mug is not even working for them. He's trying to trash their reputation in the community. This is unbelievable. Michelle, you're awesome. I thank you so much for calling, my dear. We appreciate it. All right, we got some great calls here. Let's try Kim. Kim's in Northridge. She's got a broad picture perspective for us here. Kim, you are an Uber driver. Is that so?
Yes. Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, Kim.
Good, Kim. What's your experience been like?
So I started doing Uber 5 months ago, and I absolutely loved it. It was great because it was so busy all the time, and I was making a killing. But within the last 5 months, it seems like everybody is doing Uber, which means that there's more for me to share, and I find myself waiting sometimes an hour to even get a call.
Wow.
So I would really like it if people stopped applying.
But your problem is people like douchebags like Beer Mug keep taking your work away from you.
You know? Like, you already have right? a job.
Kim, what hours do you work? What hours do you work, Kim?
So I would never allow anyone to throw up in my car because then I would just want to give it back to the dealership.
Right.
So I work in the mornings. I'm actually working right now, but I've, of course, got a no call. And I'll go home for rush hour because there's no point of sitting in traffic to make $5.
Right,
so
yeah,
I'll
right,
go home
right.
during rush hour, and then I'll come back out at night right before midnight is when I'll call it a night because then that's when all the weird drunk people come out.
Yeah. Well, it does sound like you have one thing in common with Beer Mug, and that you're both approaching it with, I'm going to work the hours that make the most sense for me, where I can make the most money, where it fits into my schedule. I mean, that is one great thing about Uber as a part-time job that you wouldn't get if you got a job in retail or something like that. But overall, are you satisfied with the amount of money you're making, or does it seem like it's just too much work, too hard to work for the bucks?
You know, I think that I'm comparing it too much to the money that I used to make, so I'm kind of upset about it.
Right.
Also, everybody...
But Muggs is comparing it to K-Rock money, so it's probably going to seem like a dream.
Also, everyone thinks like, okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are the busiest, but also every other driver is thinking that. So that's when all drivers sign on, which means you pretty much don't make any money.
You'd probably be better off doing the off hours than you would the prime time, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate your perspective on that. Let's go to Ishmael. He's in Los Angeles. He's up next on line 3. By the way, Muggs, why don't you Uber drive overnights before you come into K-Rock in the morning?
Great idea.
Wow. I would. That would not be good for anybody here.
Well, I mean, I'm just
going
by.
You couldn't be less sharp than you are.
How dare you?
How could it hurt?
I'd be fine. By Michelle's experience, though, in terms of trying to stay away from the competition, you'd be the only Uber driver out there in some cases, I bet.
I'd also be sleeping on the phone op desk out there, too.
Again, no
difference. Got a lot of complaints, that he's got a lot of reasons why he can't do things.
You're so close to quitting, and you don't even have the job yet.
We're going to finish this segment. Oh, he's going to walk out of the room going, F Uber.
Oh, I'm exhausted. I hate this job.
All right, Ishmael, what's going on with you, brother?
It's a rough life, guys.
Ishmael, what should we call you?
Call me Ishmael.
File!
Come on! Big time!
Even though I know Muggs didn't get that was terrible.
What? Right over my head.
All right, Ishmael, what's the deal? Good job, bad job, being a rideshare driver?
It's a rough life. It's a terrible job.
How come? Tell us more.
Oh, well, I've been doing it for about 4 or 5 months now.
Uh-huh.
I'm a night crawler, you know. I'm starting at 8 o'clock p.m. I'm going to 4 or 5 in the morning.
Okay.
And you know, I do it over in Los Angeles, and I generally, you know, see the worst of it all. I guess my story would be most recently last weekend had three rather large lesbians in the back of my car, and they decided, you know, just to start going at it. You know, it wasn't a very pleasant sight.
Look, if the worst downside of your job is you have to watch girls making out, I don't think you've got very much to complain about, dude.
Well, listen, but that's just one story in a whole, you know, and a whole universe of terrible experiences.
That's like his tale is over.
He is over.
All right, thanks for the call. Why don't we go out with we actually do have some real positive calls about the Uber experience, including Jonathan Canoga Parks. He's been doing it for a year. He loves it. Let's talk to Henry about the mad bank that he's making. He's in Hollywood on line two. This is what it's all about.
All right, Luda. Let's find out what mad bank he's making.
This is what it's all about. Is you're trying to cash in, right, Muggs?
Absolutely. Never said mad bank.
Good we for didn't you, Henry. Think you did, Henry. Yeah. We didn't think you
no
did.
No one said that since Busta Rhymes got out of the business.
those exact words were not used.
All right. What kind of money are you making then?
Let me just give you guys what's going on. I was unemployed about a year and a half ago. I was laid off from Rosetta Stone. I was a corporate trainer for them.
Right.
And I had heard horrible experiences from Uber drivers that had been driving me around about how they don't make enough money and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I decided to apply for Uber because I was unemployed and see where it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
I make about $1,300 a week right now.
Wow.
Driving Uber X way more than I ever did. Way more than I ever did with Rosetta Stone. I went to USC, you guys. I graduated USC. So, like, the fact that I was unemployed was a huge burden on my family and on me emotionally. And the fact that Uber came along and is doing this, I mean,
What's the secret, though, to making a lot of money driving Uber? Like, what are you doing differently than some of the other people?
What I'm doing differently is, first of all, I wasn't one of these chumps that went out and bought a brand new Prius just because right. I was driving Uber.
Right.
So I don't have this outrageous payment. My Audi's paid off already. I paid it off a couple of years ago. So I pick people up. It's a stick shift, so I don't waste that much gas. It's a bit brutal driving in L.A., but, I mean, $1,100, $1,200, $1,300 a week makes up for it.
People that don't understand Uber X, Uber Black, all of that, what are the differences, and could you make more if you did get, say, a SUV? Could you make more?
The thing is, I went to Uber, you guys. Like, Uber actually has office hours where you can visit them, right? So I went to Uber. And there's a line of employees out there. And there was this angry dude that was just like, hey, man, you need to stop driving Uber X. They're effing you. You know, it's not right. I drive Uber Black, and this is the best thing I've ever done. And I'm like, okay, please explain the best thing you've ever done. How much money do you make? How does it work? He rents an SUV from a guy with commercial insurance for $600 a week.
Wow.
Whoa!
A week.
He's dumber than you.
He's way dumber than me.
Yeah. So $600 a week. And then at the end of the day, he says every week I bring home after gas and after he gets his expenses and I get mine and blah, blah, blah. My take home is $900 to $1,000 a week.
Wow.
And I just sat there going, what the hell? Dude, my take home is $1,300 a week, man.
Yeah.
Little Audi A4. And so why would I rent a car from some chump and pay him $600 a week?
Gotcha. So it sounds like it's working out for you. Do you know, I don't know how much you listen to the show, but what do you think Muggs' chances are of being a good Uber driver?
First of all, Muggs' chances of just being a human are slim to none.
Henry wins everything.
Henry wins.
I've been listening to you guys religiously since I was a pup, so I know everything about Muggs.
That hurts, Henry. That hurts.
Thank you. Instead of Uber X or Uber Black, we think the beer was going to drive Juber, which is another version of Uber.
I didn't get Ralph Ishmael reference, but I think it's from a rap lyric.
It's from a song, right?
It's got to be a song.
From a song?
Hey,
there's no test to become an Uber driver, is there? Some sort of exam you have to take?
Apparently not. Hey, April Foolish's tickets you can win between 9 and 9:30. And Ralph, Mr. Mike Gatto is in the next room. He is a California assemblyman. And he's coming in here with paperwork. I don't know if we're being served or we're being sued or what's happening, but he's got some official paperwork from the state of California that he needs to share with us on the air. So I'm a little bit nervous about that.
I hope he's got credentials because I don't buy this story at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, I think, if it's what I think it is.
I think he's got money in an account that he's got a Nigerian prince who wants to give us a big payout, but we have to give him some money first. I'm not sure how it works. But
we'll find out. That's coming up after the top of the hour here on a Friday morning. Ralph is here, type of the show, BizBeat. What's going on?
Furious 7 opens up this weekend. It is predicted to be one of the biggest opening weekends of all time, certainly of the springtime. Usually you don't get a lot of big releases this time of year. But the commercials just make me nuts. I feel like Bean when I listen to this commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the TV spots?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Bean?
Has
this caught your attention?
I suspect that I do. Is it the misuse of a word?
It's the wrong word for what they're talking about.
Yeah, this is The Rock. It's driving
it's
me crazy,
driving
too.
Me and crazy.
And I just can't believe that there wasn't a person on set going, hey, you know you said that wrong, right? Nope, left it in the movie.
In the spot, and I'm assuming it's in the movie. I haven't seen the film yet, but in the commercial, Michelle Rodriguez is in need of backup, and she says to The Rock, did you bring the cavalry? The cavalry. Which, of course, is a perfectly acceptable idiom. This is a saying that's been around since probably the cavalry. Cavalry, of course, is the horse-mounted division of the army that would come riding in at the last minute in the westerns and save the settlers from the Indian attack or what have you.
Yeah, so she means, hey, I need some backup. I need some help.
Did you bring the cavalry, she asks.
Posse.
Right. Listen carefully to The Rock's response.
Did you bring the cavalry?
Woman, I am the cavalry.
He is the cavalry.
not
the cavalry
the word.
Is a bunch of horses with soldiers on them. You know what the cavalry is? That's the space in Jerusalem just outside where Jesus was crucified.
Yeah, it's the hill that he's crucified on.
Right.
That's Calvary.
That's Calvary.
Not the same as cavalry.
So The Rock is saying, honey, I am the mountain that Jesus was crucified on. How does that help their situation?
It's opening Easter weekend?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're looking for the religious audience.
But how did that make it into the movie?
It's pretty obvious. It's pretty blatant.
Yeah, there's no question it's wrong.
It's way wrong. There was no one on the set that day. Did they just give The Rock a GoPro and say, just shoot this scene yourself?
Maybe they shot it on the first day of Daylight Savings Time. You ever think about that?
See, I've said, now that makes me feel bad because now I feel like Bean. I'm like Bean because this is bothering me.
I think it's legitimate. I think it's I bet it drives a lot of people crazy.
I hope so.
Except for Muggs, who's never heard of the cavalry or Calvary. But I think it drives people crazy when they hear that spot, too.
Loves that song, though.
Yeah. people don't know what we're talking about, do they? Off air, I made a lame joke. We're talking to an Uber driver named Ishmael. And before we went to him on the phone, I said, Ishmael, what should we call you? Because, of course, call me Ishmael is perhaps the most famous opening line of any American novel ever, right? The first line of Moby Dick.
Sure.
So B made a joke. Oh, everybody got it except for Beer Mug. Ha, ha, ha. We thought Beer Mug, you know, would understand. And then when we went to commercial break, he said, that's from a song, right? That was his question. He's a dope. Let me give you something, people, because you're nice enough to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew, the Santa Anita Derby Days party happening this Saturday, as you can imagine, the Santa Anita Park. I love this racetrack, by the way. It's going to be a great day of betting on the ponies, booze, food, music from Metalachi. Here's what one lucky winner will get. A 4-pack of VIP tickets. You get to bring 3 of your friends. You get free admission, backstage access, drink tickets, and a $106 in a voucher that you can use to bet on the races. This is a great day. It's going to be a beautiful day out there at Santa Anita Racetrack. So if you'd like to go, give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. The infield opens at 11 a.m., so let's take caller number 11. Number 11 at that number will win the VIP pack of tickets to the K-Rock Microbrew Santa Anita Derby Days Party. Got to be 21 years of age or older in order
to... We got
to...
a winner!
Already?
Oh, Nelly.
I am the Calvary. I am a big hill with a cross on my head.
Come on, Rock. You're better than that.
Allie, what's your feeling when you hear that? Bother you?
Did
or
you catch,
go,
did you catch
eh, doesn't
it
matter.
All? Did you hear it?
I don't believe I have even watched that commercial. Yeah. But I would catch it, and
what would
happen? I would go, oh, he said the wrong word. And then I'd go on with my day.
Yeah.
So you
I think
too
you're like probably like a lot of people.
So maybe we're overreacting?
You are so much like Bean, and
it should
scare you a little.
Stop it! How dare... That's the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Besties.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Bynes is 29 years old today. Kobe Smulders. She's 33 years old. What a career she's had. From going from that little sitcom where she was How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. And now she's with the Avengers.
Yep.
Pretty cool. 33 years old. Actor Matthew Good, who's on The Good Wife, is 37 years old. Ari Spears is 40. Adam Scott is 42. Mike Ness, Social Distortion lead singer, and of course he was also the guy who wore the wolf hat and the monkeys. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, two big bands.
Nesmith, different guy. Not the same.
I thought he was older.
Different person.
Eddie Murphy's 54 years old. David Hyde Pierce is 56. Alec Baldwin turns 57 years old today. And Tony Orlando's birthday today. Tony Orlando, for those of you who may not know, was a very popular singer in the 70s. Sorry, we're out of time. He is 71 years old today. For some reason, Kevin and Bean asked for his help to sing a theme song for an event that no one cares about that they were doing a live broadcast from called Schmeckfest in South Dakota, which was some sort of poor man's Oktoberfest with a beer garden and screaming men and women and children. No one knows why they scream there. It was just an ill-conceived idea that was poorly executed. But every year on Tony Orlando's birthday, I do like to play the Schmeckfest theme featuring Kevin and Bean singing along with Tony Orlando.
Gather around, boys and girls, and listen.
You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and awkward, did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
And there's an assemblyman in the next room that's going to give you some sort of award.
He just left.
Come on. He just got his car and left with disgust.
He pooped
in the doorway at K-Rock and then got his car and left.
No, we'll take your scroll. Thank you. How can you do that? Have you no, at long last, sir, have you no decency?
Apparently not.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It doesn't count as us being punked if we say right up front that we know this whole thing's a fraud, right?
I'll tell you, this document looks very official. It's got the state seal on it and everything.
Well, of course it does. They're not going to try to fool you with something that obviously looks fake. In our studio right now is a man who identifies himself as a California assemblyman named Mike Gatto, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. He is an assemblyman from the 43rd District. Forgive me, Mike, for not knowing very much about how politics works or government works, but what does an assemblyman do?
Well, you know, I get asked that quite a lot. I get asked what it is that I assemble. The answer is we assemble laws, and some of them are actually halfway decent. But we're basically Congress for the state of California.
Oh, okay, you are? Okay, but you don't work in Sacramento?
Sacramento, yeah. So my district goes from the Hollywood Hills, Hollywood, all the way through Glendale and Burbank, La Cañada, La Crescenta. But we work in the state capital in Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's
just
official.
I lived in all those places.
Really?
At one point or another, I lived in every place you just mentioned.
How about that?
Yeah.
So this is big time. So instead of being in Sacramento right now and making it rain, and I mean, you know, because of the California drought or making weed legal or something like that, you're wasting your time here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about resolutions?
Yeah, what is this foolishness that you've brought us today, Mike? This is just – it's a very important-looking document, but it just seems silly.
Well, first, it's always good to know there's room for Mike Gatto.
Okay.
Someone caught that reference. Thank God. I mean, I'm happy to know some people listen to their own show.
A J-Lo joke from an
elected
official.
Yes, a J-Lo joke.
Very strong.
But this is an official California State Assembly resolution for the Kevin and Bean Show, basically celebrating that you're an institution in the state of California. What this means now is that everybody has to show up to work in suits and ties.
I don't think that's true.
You can skip lines at the DMV.
Well, that would be useful.
You can go in the carpool lane for free, and you don't have to pay taxes.
What?
Wow.
Don't tell anybody.
All right.
But no, in all seriousness.
What is a resolution? What does that mean, actually?
So we passed two laws, types of laws in Sacramento. One of them is our bills, and those are actual things like you said, making marijuana legal. Mm-hmm. And this is a resolution. It's basically has the effect of law, and it's basically saying what a wonderful show the Kevin and Bean Show is and how happy we are to have you in the state of California for the last 25
years. So it's a law now that this show is good?
It's actually a law.
That's so awesome. Now we can post USA! USA! So when someone says, your show sucks, we can say, no, it doesn't. There's a law that says we're
here.
Good.
Yeah, look at this law.
It's science. So this would be the equivalent, Mike, if I understand correctly. When I'm watching C-SPAN and somebody gets up and reads a statement so that it's in the congressional record to say, hey, we recognize this person. It's the same kind of thing. It's just a basically way to kind of codify and make official something that doesn't really affect anybody else.
That's a nice way of putting it, I suppose. But yeah, there's a lot of whereas clauses in here and a lot of big words.
Yeah. What, okay. What does the whereas mean? Just means it's evident that it's.
I have no idea.
Well, you should be impeached.
Oh, no.
Took a turn, Mike. It took a turn.
All right, starting up. Whereas this gentleman has no idea what he does for a living.
Assemblyman, would you mind reading? We may not have time for all of it, but could you just kind of give us the gist of what this official document says?
Whereas, since its debut on January 2, 1990, from a small studio in Burbank, California, The Kevin and Bean Show has experienced an impressive growth in listenership and now boasts more than 5% of the Los Angeles morning drive time audience, making it the top-rated show in its time slot. And
wow, look at us. Only 95% of the people aren't listening to us. We are killing it.
It does sound less impressive when you put it that way, Mike.
Each and every one of you still has way more Twitter followers than the average politician, let me tell you. Yeah. Nobody cares what we do.
But people vote for you to get you into office. No one picked us to do this job.
Yeah. They vote with their pocketbooks, let me tell you.
All right, what comes after that? What's the next paragraph?
Oh, good Lord, there's a lot of paragraphs here. Let's see.
Skip the boring one when they first met. That's not a good one.
Let's see. There's talk about Ryder syndrome. Should we have left that out? No?
No.
Not good?
That. Keep
no?
That in.
We were afraid that politicians would catch Ryder syndrome. I was actually kind of a little scared.
Look how close we work next to Kevin all the time. We're terrified of Ryder syndrome. I think he's got it so bad today he's not even here in the studio for this resolution.
That's what I hear. He didn't want to infect
me. Years ago, the Kevin and Bean Show broadcast live from Las Vegas for some reason. Although, come to think of it, back then, Ralph, we didn't even need a reason, right? We just went to Las Vegas.
We would just go, yeah.
But the honorable mayor of Las Vegas declared it Kevin and Bean Day in the city, and we actually got a key to the city, which it turned out meant nothing, open to no doors. is there any kind of key involved here, or is there any kind of official Kevin and Bean Day involved here?
You know, today is official Kevin and Bean Day, and
you're
of course,
just making that up.
Well,
spot.
I did. There's the impeachment problem again. No, but it does mention that you are being inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame with Vin Scully and your good buddy Rick Dees.
Yeah.
So I know that is something that you're all proud about, and this does officially enshrine this in the record.
Wow. Well, that is extremely generous, although I'm really more concerned by how much time you guys are wasting in Sacramento coming up with nonsense like this than anything. But it's very kind of you.
Does it bother anyone in the state government, Mike, that Bean moved out of the state so he wouldn't have to pay taxes, California state taxes, any longer? Does that bother anyone down there in Sacramento?
Oh, boy.
That he lives in freaking Washington State? Did anyone raise their hand during this assembly meeting and say, one of those assholes doesn't even live in our state anymore?
Oh, my Lord.
Did anybody bring that up?
Wow.
Mike?
So far,
I've been the people does any research when you do these resolutions.
So I've been impeached. Bean has been called out.
Well, and rightly so.
The CHP to go collect those taxes.
Yes.
I'm glad they did. That occurred to no one, Ralph. I'm actually glad about that. All right, listen, before you go, Assemblyman Mike Gatto, very kind, and I mean that most sincerely on behalf of all of us on the Kevin and Bean Show. As we often say, our names are on the door, but it's a total team effort, and this is an honor for Ralph and for Allie and for Chip and for Dave and Omar and everyone else. But in all seriousness, this nonsense aside, how are we doing on getting weed legal? I mean, where are we on that, son? I mean, seriously.
There will be a ballot resolution put to a vote of the people probably next year in 2016. And, if you're excited to vote for it, then I'm sure the show provides a great platform to encourage people to vote for it.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's be on the right side of history on this one. Mike, come on. This is where the future's going, right?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I mean, the most alarming thing for me is – you know, my Uber driver pulls up and I smell, your last segment there didn't give me exactly too much faith in the people who want to apply. Maybe so.
Well, you're a great American, Mike. Thank you so much for the honor.
Re-election, Mike? When's that happen?
You know, the thing is,
my full support behind you with all
that's
my friends.
The irony is I'm not here seeking re-election. I'm termed out of the assembly in 2016, so I've won 8 consecutive elections. And
wow.
I'm just here to honestly present this resolution.
So the one guy in government that likes this is out of a job next year.
Well, I might continue. There might be some other things in my
thanks,
future.
Obama.
What's next for you, Mike?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I have no idea.
Let us use our bully pulpit of 5% of the morning population to push you right up into the governor's office.
Awesome, but I'm focused on being the best darn assemblyman I can be.
Oh, what a liar.
Come on, it's Kevin and Bean Day, man. We can make it happen for you. We can make some calls.
Yeah, that'd be
all
great.
All right, Mike. Appreciate you coming by. You're very kind, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you for all you've done in 25 years.
Sell for the game, please.
Oh, that's right. Let's sell for the game. Hey, do you want to go see April Foolishness? because we have tickets to give away. These are not just any tickets. These are tickets in the party bus section. Be down there up front. You'll be at the party with us backstage. We'll be having cocktails with me and Kevin and Bean. And you see Bean fall off the stage. Maybe you can catch him. You'll be that close to what
happened. Everyone's seen it on YouTube, but this is your chance to see me fall off a stage in real life. So
all you need to do is be able to be a Jack Black fan, a Tenacious D fan, more importantly. If you know the guys, you know their music, then this game is for you. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold, and we'll play our game next.
Tomorrow night at the Shrine, it's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. It is going to be a great night. It's the seventh year in a row we've brought you the best night of comedy in Southern California all year long. Tenacious D, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, and just added this morning the winner of the Kevin and Bean opening act contest, Eddie Pence. Congratulations to Eddie. Eddie is going to be opening the show tomorrow. House music by DJ Mike Realm. Show is completely sold out, but we do have one pair of tickets left in the VIP section. That is known as the Party Bus section. You get the reception backstage with the Kevin and Bean Show before the show, limited edition Party Bus section show t-shirt, and VIP parking. This is your final chance to win tickets. Ralph, what are we doing this time?
We are going to play a song. Excuse me. We're going to play a game called D or Dick.
Omar, everybody. How about that?
How about Ralph, everybody?
That was you singing?
Yes.
That was very impressive.
Thank you.
That was very impressive.
Did you really think that was Omar singing
that? I did.
You thought Omar could sing that?
I thought that was Omar. I really
did. Thought, you've heard Omaroki. Haven't you ever once on this show?
I was impressed with how good it was. Yes, I thought it was Omar.
Sweet. You're a sweet man. You're very kind. Here's
D
the
or
game.
Dick.
D or Dick.
They're kind of the same thing, though, aren't they?
Nah, you would think.
Nope.
But au contraire, mon frere, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a title of a Tenacious D song. That's the D. Or we're going to give you the title of an episode of a TV show that was written by legendary writer, director, producer Dick Wolff.
Excuse me?
Dick Wolff, creator, of course, of Law & Order. Also worked on such shows as Hill Street Blues, Chicago PD, Law & Order SVU, Miami Vice, Chicago Fire. He has written episodes for all of these shows. So we're going to give you a Tenacious D song title or the title of an episode of television written by Dick Wolff.
This is a
People
great
are like,
game.
What?
It'll be D or Dick.
Oh, there's Omar's song again. He's so good.
Stop
all right,
that.
So basically, you're going to give two titles. The caller on the phone just has to tell us which one is the Tenacious D song, right?
I've crystallized my thoughts perfectly, Bean.
I love it. All right, we'll take them in order, Chip, starting with line one, Buena Park. David is going to be our first contestant on a game that we like to call D or Dick. Hi, David.
How's it going?
David, right, I'm going to give you two titles. Up. One of them is a Tenacious D song, okay?
All right.
All right, here are your two titles. Is it Call It Macaroni or Kielbasa?
Kielbasa is the D.
Well done, sir.
There you go, David.
Call It Macaroni is actually an episode of Chicago PD that was written by Dick Wolff.
How about that?
There we go.
All right, David, you're one step closer to winning your way into April Foolishness. You are in the drawing. Please hold on. Let's go to Mitchell up next, line two, La Palma.
All right, Mitchell, here are your two titles, sir. 39 or 39 Viking Bikers from Hell.
Did you hear him? You couldn't even get the other answer out. He's so familiar with the D.
Couldn't even get it out. 39 is an episode, is a song from Rise of the Phoenix. A Viking Bikers from Hell is an episode of Miami Vice. Was written by Dick Wolff.
Can I just say, Bean? You just said you couldn't even get it out. He's so familiar with the D.
That's correct. Yes, I did.
Well done.
All right, Mitchell, you're in the drawing as well. Up next is Chelsea, Huntington Beach, line three.
Let's see if Chelsea loves the D. Chelsea,
she does.
Hi, Chelsea.
How are you?
Chelsea, do you love the D?
Oh, yeah, I love the D.
Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Here are your titles. D-Girl or Tribute?
Tribute.
You're right. Tribute is the song. D-Girl is an episode of Law & Order written by Dick Wolff.
How about that?
So far, we're 3-for-3.
This is very impressive. A lot of D fans, man. A lot of people excited to see them at the Shrine tomorrow. All right, Danny's up next. Let's see if we can keep it going. He's in Van Nuys, line four.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Danny. Here are your titles. Pick out the Tenacious D song. Break in City or Coming Down Hard?
Breaking City's a D.
Breaking City's the D from Pick of Destiny. Coming Down Hard was a Law & Order episode written by Dick Wolff.
All right, Ryan is up next in Glendora, line 5. You're playing for April Foolishness tickets for tomorrow night at the Shrine. Good luck.
Hey, Ryan, it's time to play D or Dick.
D or Dick.
All right, here we go. Quickie or roadie?
Roadie.
You're right. Roadie is from Rise of the Phoenix. That's the D song. You're in the drawing.
What was the Quickie episode?
Episode of Law and Order SVU written
by that's bad.
Dick Wolf.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. It's not a good kind of Quickie if it's on that show. Yeah, it certainly is.
Timing,
all right.
Chip. Timing.
We got time for a couple more. How about Adam and Encino? So far, perfect record. Every caller knows and loves the D. Adam, you're up next. Don't blow it, sir.
All right, here we go.
All right, Adam, here is your two titles. Tell me the D song. Chicken Dynamite Chainsaw or The Government Totally Sucks?
Chicken Dynamite Chainsaw.
No, I'm sorry, sir. The Government Totally Sucks is the D song. Chicken Dynamite Chainsaw is an episode of Chicago PD written by Dick Wolf.
All right, thank you for playing there. We appreciate it. Let's do one more contestant to go into the drawing. It's going to be Aaron in Lakewood, line 7.
All right, Aaron, here you go. Here are your two choices. The Road or Let Her Go?
The Road.
The Road, you're right. That's the Tenacious D song. Let Her Go is an episode of Chicago Fire written by Dick Wolf. That was D or Dick? Chip, come on. What the hell's wrong with you?
Seriously,
God,
how long were we going to wait for that? When Omar sings a song that well, you play it.
How dare you?
David is in the drawing, as is Mitchell, Chelsea, Danny, Ryan, and Aaron. Only one will win a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness and get to meet the show, VIP parking, the T-shirt, the whole deal. This has been D or Dick. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
I'm shuffling.
Furiously shuffling over there.
The winner is Ryan.
Ryan from Glendora.
Happy enough. Let's pick a different winner.
I think he's plenty happy.
Oh, okay.
Ryan, congratulations. You're going to be in the party by selection tomorrow night. We'll see you then. Thanks for playing D or Dick.
Hey, one quick piece of business ahead of Ralph Garman's final Showbiz Beat, and then we play that song you love so much to get us into the weekend, and that is we have a pair of tickets for the Saturday of 41st Annual Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, which is happening coming up a couple weekends, April 17th through the 19th in Long Beach. If you love to watch the racing, you want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 and 11, you win this hour from the Kevin and Bean Show. That Grand Prix, what does that draw, Ralph? Like 400,000 people or something like that?
Yes,
down for that
it's an enormous event each and every year.
Southern California institution. So if that sounds like fun, you want to be there, give us a call right now on K-Rock. Rob is here now. Time for a final look at the beat. What's happening?
It's an institution just like the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the law, people. We're the law on our side now.
Yeah.
Law! I am the law! In the words of Judge Dredd. Law!
I like that Assemblyman Gatto very much.
Nice dude.
Very cool to meet him. I feel like he is wasting his valuable time and resources on a thing like proclaiming a Kevin.
Well, we found out. Short timer. That's what it is. He's out next year. What does he care?
He's
like a senior. He's got senioritis.
Yeah, this state is somebody else's problem in a couple of minutes.
That's right. He doesn't care. Hey, everybody got their peeps? You have all your peeps? Everybody got their peeps ready for the weekend?
Yep.
Their peeps? Everybody got their peeps ready?
Yep.
Freaking peeps. What a foul food the peep
is.
You
hate peeps, too?
The peep is a foul food.
Really?
The peep is the candy corn of Easter.
Those are fighting words.
You know, Allie, we're starting to discover you're more and more like Bean. Every day we're finding that out about
you. Somebody mentioned that on my Facebook, too.
Yeah. Hmm.
Weird.
Hmm. It is weird. And then I caught The Rock saying the wrong word in a trailer. Maybe it's a Bean disease. Forget about Ryder syndrome.
Bean syndrome.
This is weird, Ralph. I'm glad you brought up the peeps because Dave is now weighing in, and I got an instant email from somebody who agrees with you that peeps are terrible. But isn't,
oh, they're awful.
But aren't peeps one of those things that, like candy corn, I guess... They sell millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds of them every Easter. Why are people buying them if nobody likes to eat them?
I think just because it's tradition.
Novelty in the basket?
Yeah, I think just people grew up with them, so they think that's what you have to do.
But would you go out and buy something you didn't enjoy eating just because you ate it when you were a kid? I don't think so.
I guess people must like it. You're right. I mean, all I know is, here's the number. I just got this. And you're gonna say this can't be possible, but I'm telling you it's true. How many peeps do you think are supposedly eaten each Easter season in the United States of America?
Packages of peeps?
How many individual
peeps?
Yes. How many peeps in a package? 10? 8 peeps in a package?
You can get big packages or packages just
All right, you know way too much about peeps. How many peeps, individual peeps, are eaten in the Easter season?
And say 800 million.
Wow, very close. Being 700 million peeps
really
are eaten each and every Easter.
Yay!
That's 2.3 peeps per person. It's ridiculous, peeps.
Now, what do you do if you're a guy who hates peeps and now you've got a little girl for whom Easter is probably a big deal? She'll probably wear a pretty dress and have a little basket.
She will.
Will you continue with tradition and put peeps in her basket?
She shan't receive peeps.
No.
I'm breaking the cycle of violence. I'm breaking the cycle of abuse.
So she's going to grow up in a peep-free household.
She will not be abused with the peep.
Wow.
She's getting the Cadburys. She's getting the chocolate Cadbury eggs. Mm-hmm. She's getting some bunnies. She's getting some Reese's peanut butter eggs. Mm-hmm. No freaking peeps.
So you're hoping your generation is the last generation that has to endure peeps.
Someone has to stop the peep, man.
Okay.
Someone does. There's an official site, by the way, I've just been handed this, marshmallowpeeps.com, if you want to learn more about your peeps. Wow, that's a lot of peep talk. Let's talk about something else, shall we? Al Pacino is returning to Broadway.
Ooh-ah.
New play by David Mamet. There's a good combination, those two guys. It's called China Doll. It's a two-character play about a billionaire who has just bought a private plane for his young fiancé. Previews begin October 20th at the Schoenfeld Theater, and opening night is November the 19th, so I guess this winter you'll be able to see Pacino on Broadway. I got a chance to see him do Glengarry Glen Ross recently, another David Mamet play there on Broadway. And boy, it's easy to mock Pacino because he's sort of become a self-parody a little bit in the movies. Mm-hmm. But you see him on stage, and boy, the guy's got a lot of power. He's still a tremendous actor. It's good stuff. Speaking of Broadway, do you know they're making a musical based on the Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day?
I just saw that yesterday. Now, is that a good choice? Does that lend itself to a Broadway show?
I think it does, and it gives you a little, it's a little dubious upon hearing it, but until you find out that all the songs were written by Tim Minchin. Minchin.
I couldn't be more in then.
Right? That's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he wrote all the songs for Matilda, which was a big hit on Broadway and also in the UK. And now he is doing all the songs for Groundhog Day. We love him. He's funny and talented, and he's pretty good.
Boy, that was a great movie.
Yeah, it sure was. Looks like Fuller House is coming to Netflix. Fuller House, what is that you're asking? It is the sequel to Full House. Bob Saget, John Stamos, the Olsen twins. Well, at least Bob Saget and John Stamos. Maybe the Olsen twins won't be part of it. Looks like they're going to do a reboot, bringing back the original cast to be on Netflix. According to sources, the storyline will focus on Candace Cameron Bure's character, DJ Tanner, and her best friend, Kimmy Gibbler. I guess they'll be roommates, or I don't know, maybe DJ's got some kids of her own, or maybe they're lesbians. That'd be so hot. It'd be so hot if they were lesbians.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, since they're not making it for the same audience on a broadcast network like they did first time around, will it be as family friendly, or will they go with a more more modern, racy?
That's a good point. Maybe they'll grow it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Although, do you want to ostracize the basic audience for Full House, which is families? I mean, I think it still plays on ABC Family or something, one of those rerun channels, and still pulls in respectable numbers for cable, like 1.2 million viewers an episode or something. It's still a big hit.
Wow.
Yeah. And Disney now is starting to cannibalize itself. You know, they're doing live-action versions of all its classic cartoons. We already talked about the fact that Jungle Book's being done. Cinderella, most recently, was a huge hit. Snow White, of course, Maleficent was a Disney film. It was based on a cartoon. They just announced Winnie the Pooh, the live-action Winnie the Pooh movie. Do we need that? Do we need Winnie the Pooh live-action?
Allie does. It's got a bear in it.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. She loves a bear. She loves when a bear eats the honey pot.
Yeah. I'm in. Let's do it. Winnie the Pooh the hell out of it.
Apparently, Christopher Robin will be all grown up in this version. Ooh, maybe they'll do an adult version of Winnie the Pooh. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, Tigger. Oh, yeah, Tigger. Tigger, please. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Oh, dumb.
Alec Baldwin is 57 years old today. David.
Speaking of Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's right. Coffee's for
Closers.
That's
the greatest role he ever played, by the way.
Yeah. Not in the play, you know. They wrote that just for the movie.
Right.
And it's a very powerful moment in that film. Always be closing. 57 years old today. David Hyde Pierce is 56. Eddie Murphy is 54. Mike Ness of Social D celebrates his 53rd birthday today. Adam Scott is 42. Ari Spear is 40. Matthew Good of The Good Wife is 37. Kobe Smulders from S.H.I.E.L.D. and also How I Met Your Mother. She is 33 years old. Amanda Bynes turns 29. I got a real quick email, if you don't mind, before we get to the weekend.
Sure.
This comes in from listener Mike
Can't
Olson.
Imagine what it's about.
Mike Olson from Duarte sends this email in. Hey, Ralph, a couple weeks ago, after much protest from me, my wife finally got me to watch Dumb and Dumber. Although I knew this movie wasn't going to be anything special, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, and turned out to be quite funny. Anyway, I was at a Starbucks in Burbank yesterday, and I ran into the actress who played Mary Swanson in that role. I told her that I actually liked the movie and the character she played. She was super sweet and actually paid for my coffee. Needless to say, I'm in love with Lauren Holly. I'm in love with Lauren Holly. Yeah, I'm in love with Lauren Holly. Yeah, I'm in love with Lauren Holly. Mike Nelson from Duarte writes that. Thanks, Mike. Happy weekend, everybody. Enjoy your peeps. Bean, got anything?
I do, actually. A listener writes in named Cash from Redlands who says, if you use Peeps to make s'mores just once, it will change your life. Now, that's an interesting combination taste treat, isn't it?
And I get the added joy of putting a peep over an open flame.
Right.
So I get to roast the peep. I hate the peep, but I get to watch it burn.
That's right. So there you go. That's a win-win. And if it also tastes delicious after that, can't beat it.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, next week on the Kevin and Bean Show, not only are some of us going to be broadcasting live from the Coachella House on Friday ahead of weekend number one, but Marina Baccarin on the program next week.
Wow.
Very funny actor, Josh Gad, is going to be joining us.
I love Josh Gad, and I love his new show, Comedians with Billy Crystal.
Lamorne Morris.
New Girl.
From New Girl. Be on the program. How about this, Ralph? I know you're into Netflix's Daredevil.
Oh,
we're going to have
the
actress who plays Karen Page on that show. Deborah Ann Woll is going to be joining us in studio as well.
So good.
Matt Money Smith will be joining us on a lot of great sports stuff going on with the NCAA Final Four this weekend. And we need to make our annual baseball bet, which I'm now about $1,000 in the hole with betting season after season with money. And much, much more coming up next week, plus tickets to the MTV Movie Awards. And, Ralph, you will have tickets to the world premiere of a little film called The Avengers as well.
Age of Ultron.
So hit it, Steve, on the song. And that is all going to be next week. And we will see you at April Foolishness, I guess, everybody, tomorrow night. Odds on whether I'll fall off the stage, yes or no?
Oh, hell yes.
Thoughts.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ma, what are you doing on top of that?
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, it's tic-tac, tic-tac.
Roll another one.
Do you shave your butt?
Just like the other one.
Don't put me in that loser crowd.
This one seems to be about to quit.
People are like, what?
And I need another hit.
Yeah, it's always the main guy, and then there's the laughing guy, and then there's the baffled and shocked woman. It's like, brr, 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 brr. Oh, fellas.
Roll another one.
I would just drop the mic and walk out.
Just like the other one.
He is a sucker.
This one seems to be about to end.
Well, you must be really happy.
I don't have another cent.
Man, I wish I knew how to produce beats because EDM is where it's at.
I just need some babes, man.
This girl's going crazy.
Why don't I give you a few moments to discuss this? I know it's a big decision.
We don't need to discuss it. You're fired.
Easter vacation starting right now. It's starting. So I hope everybody gets out and parties and go to clubs and, you know, you got to get out and get around.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Bam, peace out.